tucked in here. Nice move by Fiala. Did a nice dance. Worked it back in front. Jab and it scored. That's Parisi. Parisi got loose in front. They gave it to Parisi. He moved in, jammed away a couple of times. Yeah, and Parisi gets a power play goal, his 23rd of the year. It's a one-goal game with 7:07 to play. Here come bad news,
talking this and that. It is a celebratory Tuesday from XL Energy Center, and it is Vox in the Box, courtesy of Brian Heating and Cooling, doing whatever it takes to provide a wild victory this evening against the Nashville Predators. We welcome you to St. Paul and the 9 to noon radio show at FM 100.3 KEFAM. It's Paul Allen. The first hour co-host, per usual, is Tennessee, Brandon Molesky, and we are happy to be joined by Wild coach Dean Evason to begin festivities. Pleasure to meet you. Welcome to the radio show. Sorry about Sunday. Good luck tonight. And have you come up for air yet?
How many questions did you just ask? Yes, I mean, things are starting to settle in with our group. We're trying to find a routine, and I think it's pretty normal now. The Washington game, we played extremely well. Clearly, they're a great hockey club, but we thought we conducted ourselves very well, just didn't get the result. If we play like that each and every night, we'll give ourselves a chance to have success.
Yes, sir.
When you take over in the middle of a season for a coach, obviously there's kind of expected to be change, but how much change can you do in the middle of the season? How did you go about implementing whatever changes you wanted to make?
Little at a time. I mean, certainly didn't do too much the first few days. We just tried to, you know. Actually, we didn't change the lines at all the first couple of days, and you know, we didn't want to come in and just go, okay, we're here now, we're gonna just fix everything. I mean, it doesn't happen that way. And what we asked the guys to do is just to compete, to become a real tight group, real good teammates, and play hard every night. And then slowly we've implemented a few things, a few tweaks here and there. But you're right. I mean, unless you got the start of the season to flip a neutral zone check or the way you want to conduct your forecheck or what have you, it's very difficult. So we're just trying to instill that work ethic, which our group is pretty has been since I got day one. I got here, works their butts off.
You know, it's my first chance to chat with you since you took over, and I've been thinking about you since that first game against San Jose, because I was here for that game, and there was a change on Friday, and then a game on Saturday, but not Saturday in the evening, Saturday in the afternoon. And you know, there is a human nature side, not only to life, but to a profession. And I would imagine, no matter what opinions were formulated with whatever happened, heads had to be spinning. I mean, that, you know, when eventually you decompress and you like think about everything, I would imagine that day and where minds were and just everything that went into that, that's probably going to be one of the stranger things you faced.
Yeah, and I think if you seen our hockey club on Saturday against San Jose, it was that. It looked like we were tired almost, and I think mentally it guys want to do well, guys are thinking about what happened and just so many different scenarios. So I think that played into the hockey game as well. And yeah, it's always strange, and you never want to see somebody. I mean, I Bruce is such a wonderful person and a great coach, and you never want to see anything like that happen. I mean, it's clearly part of our business. We all know we're hired to fired, to get fired, but you don't want to see that happen to anybody. But it happened, so we had to go forward, and we had to work towards trying to get the club to play well.
And having been around the game as long as you have, all the way back to the early 90s when you started with when the San Jose Sharks were in their inaugural season, through coaching and Milwaukee and here and just everything, I would imagine the experience of seeing pretty much everything during that time can help you have that snap moment where you're like, oh, okay, have to move on, right?
I think that's a wonderful point, is that you go through life, it's a process, and you have to learn from absolutely every situation that you've been through. And a lot of times the negative situations are the best teaching situations. So, through my life and my hockey life, I've tried to learn from my playing days, obviously, and my coaching days. And you try to pick and choose, what you'd like to take from the way a coach handled you, the way a teammate responded to you the way a general manager, and you try to formulate your own ideas, because end of the day you got to do what you do, and if it's good enough to secure a job somewhere or to help a team anywhere in whatever position, you got to do it.
Have you seen that eye-opening mindset with your players or certain players? I mean, from Zucker being traded to that Valentine's Day news to that San Jose game to where we are now. That's eye-opening, and I'm certainly not saying players are going to enter the room thinking, oh, my heavens, what's going to happen in the offseason? I might be next. But it nevertheless is eye-opening and can lead to more focus. Don't you agree?
Well, 100%. And what we've done is talked only about today. Like, tonight's hockey game, when that puck's dropped, we play. You can't do anything about what happened yesterday. We cannot do anything about tomorrow yet. We have to worry about playing this hockey game tonight. So we haven't did a broad picture with the guys. We haven't talked about the playoffs. And obviously that's our goal. Our ultimate goal is to win the Stanley Cup. It has to be each and every year. And you take your steps along the way. But we have not spoken at all about it. We've just talked about our next game, and that's the drop of the puck here tonight against Nashville.
Minnesota Wild coach Dean Evason from the penalty box. It's Vox in the Box of the Wild and the Predators this evening.
What's your definition of a star in the National Hockey League, and is Kevin Fiala there yet?
I think there's several definitions of a star. There's clearly, the Connor McDavids who lead the league, or Draisaitl, as we watched last night. But there's stars in goal. There's stars as a defensive player that shuts other teams down. There's a face-off star. There's so many different elements to your hockey club that have to come together, pieces to make that puzzle, something that we can, have success with. So Kevin Fiala has gone through quite a process, and I've been fortunate enough to have seen that process up close and personal. We had him in Milwaukee for 2.5 years, I believe it was. A lot of growing pains, a lot of going through frustrating situations for him, a lot of good situations as well. And he's matured to the point now where, yes, you see what he's doing on the ice, and that's wonderful. The fans see his skill level. It's there. It's been there. It's always been there. But what it sets Kevin apart now is his maturity level. He is a great teammate, and he's just doing the right things to help the team win. It's not about Kevin. It's about the Minnesota Wild and the hockey club that he plays on.
I know you talked earlier about just going game by game. At this point, you're not focusing on the rest of the season. But would you have that same approach with your goaltender situation right now? You've played Alex Stalock in 4 consecutive games. Are you planning on riding Alex again tonight, or what's kind of your philosophy on the goaltender going the rest of the way?
One at a time. After tonight, we will evaluate and make a decision based on what has happened tonight, and we'll talk about it. We'll revisit it again, obviously, in the morning, because we don't want to make too rash of decisions at night. But yeah, that's exactly what we do. I mean, we do it as a group. We sit down. Bob Mason's obviously our goalie coach. He has likely the most input, but we all have input. We all decide together who we'd like to see start, who we think is going to give our hockey team the best opportunity.
And Dean, back to Kevin Fiala for a second, with your history with him in Milwaukee. And, I don't think everybody listening now, certainly everybody, but maybe even a fair amount of people, don't know the extensive history you two have together, including when you were here last year and he was traded, and that whirlwind to where he is now. And, when you talk about the maturity, it's I just love the meshing of a coach like a boss, yet the fatherly side of it too, because when they're as young as he is and as talented as he is, and he's known for quite some time how talented he is, dominating at many levels, when things don't go right, I would imagine they probably get moody and get too hard on themselves. Conversely, when things are going unbelievably well, first star for a week in the NHL, now you got to make sure that the head doesn't get too big. So the fatherly side of it is very, very compelling.
That's our job. I mean, a lot of coaching now, coaches, it's managing the people. I mean, we can put our systems in place, and we can practice hard, and we can do all of these things. But what you have to do is individually try to get to somebody to get them to play to the best of their abilities. And it doesn't just mean the head coach goes around to every guy. I mean, Darby will go to a guy and give him a little touch up. Bob Mason will do the same thing, not necessarily even the goalies. Bobby Woods will do the same thing. I mean, Billy Guerin will call guys in. And we're just trying to, some guys you got to kick in the butt, and some guys you got to pat on the back. And you've got to, we've got to figure out as a group, as a coaching team, who we do that to. So you mentioned Kevin being moody. Yeah, I mean, Kevin has that skill set. So getting sent to the minors was not an option for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got enough skill to play in the National Hockey League. So 100%, he's not happy to be in Milwaukee, and he wanted to be in Nashville right away because he knows he can score. He can, but he had to go through a process to learn how to play some defense. He had to go through a process to be a really good teammate because he's been the best player on every team.
Yeah.
Now maybe not. He gets to Nashville. Maybe he's not the best player. He's not the best scorer. So he's got to learn to fit in, and it's just it's a process, and it's not. There's no table for it. It's just you. Some guys take a little bit of time. Some guys take a lot of time. It's just it's when they figure it out, and Kevin has done it.
How have you liked Alex Galchenyuk since you moved him to center? And you had Luke Cunnan at center before he was injured. So if he comes back or when he comes back, how do you handle the construction of your lines once he returns?
We like both, but Galley has conducted himself extremely well. There. He has that skill set as well, but he's played a real heavy game. He's been physical. He's been real good stops and starts in the defensive zone, but he has that talent to play, and we've been looking for a center. I mean, Luke's not a center. He's bounced around a little bit. We've tried to put him there. We've been looking. So we think we found a guy in Galley to play center ice for us. So if and when Luke gets back tonight, Galley will stay in the middle.
1991-92 in what used to be called the Shark Tank. I know you're at San Jose on Thursday, and you are with San Jose in its inaugural season. When hockey became professional in Northern California, specifically that part, because, I mean, you know, people hear San Jose and San Francisco, and they're like, okay, it's right around the corner. Well, with traffic, and B, with where it is, it's about 90 minutes to get up there. So, yes, they're close, but not that close. What was that like?
Well, we played in the Cow Palace. My first two seasons, we played in the Cow Palace while the building in San Jose was being built. So I only seen that. I never got to play in the beautiful building that's there now. And the Cow Palace is closer to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
So literally we lived in between both San Fran and you're right, the traffic is an absolute fiasco. But really enjoyed my time there. We did not have good teams on paper and or statistically, but we had great teams. We were a close team. And we had to be tight. We had to stick together to get through a lot of adversity through the season, and we did that. I still have a lot of great friends from that 2 years.
Artur Zerbe, Ray Whitney, and Paul Fenton was a teammate of yours.
Yeah, Paul and I were actually line mates with a guy named Jeff Odgers, who had an NHL career that was quite a tough guy. And Paul and I, we started in Binghamton together. I started there as a 20-year-old, and he was a Wiley veteran, I think 26, 27, something
right.
like that. And then our friendship continued, and then obviously resurfaced in San Jose. But yeah, we had a lot of good times there.
Final two for Dean Evason.
You played Nashville tonight, 7:00, right here on the Fan, and they had a tough loss last night versus Edmonton, kind of blowing that in the third period. And then they also had off the ice some tornadoes going on through downtown Nashville last night. Throughout your playing or coaching career, do you recall any moment, not necessarily tornadoes, but a major distraction off the ice and how that impacted the team the following night?
Well, it's funny, you just mentioned Fenner in San Jose, but our plane had a flat tire or something with the tire. We were flying to Hartford, and him and I had both played in Hartford. We were flying there. We didn't get there till I think it was 9:00 in the morning. The day of the game, we were supposed to fly up the day prior, and we ended up sitting in the FBO the entire time, and blah blah blah. And anyway, we got in there, and everybody thought, oh, we're going to have a terrible game. And we rallied together, and we actually ended up winning. So, obviously, we watch what's happened last night as far as the hockey game. We hope and pray for a lot of people in Nashville area that went through the situation there. But the Nashville Predators are going to be ready to play tonight.
How do you win tonight? What are some things you preach on a game by game?
Well, the first thing is they're not tired. I mean, they're not tired. Doesn't matter what happened last night. They are going to be hungry. They're fighting for their playoff lives as we are. So that's the message. Simply, they are going to bring it. And if we're going to have a chance to have success tonight, we have to bring it as well.
Hey, congratulations Thank on you. The opportunity. Thank you very much for joining the radio show. And best of luck.
Really appreciate it.
Hey, those of you here at the X, Dean Evason, he's leading your favorite hockey team right now. We have fans behind us here at the penalty box at XL Energy Center. Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Aaron. And you're welcome to join, by the way. Vox in the Box is underway at 9:16, XL Energy Center. We are in the penalty box. Enter gate one, and you can do so at no charge. Very nice crowd joining us now. The Minnesota Wild Morning Skate begins about 45 minutes from now, so you can take that in. We have a speaker here, so you can hear the radio show. And also an opportunity for listeners and those here to join the Minnesota Wild in Chicago for a game March 19th against the Chicago Blackhawks. We'll get into all that and set up the radio show with Brandon Molesky. I'm Paul Allen. The on-site producer is Eric Nordquist. Technical guidance provided on-site by Jared Wells. Ryan Donaldson is here assisting us, and Brett Blakemore is guiding the great ship Love Covenant from the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios at FM 100.3 KFAN. This is Vox in the Box on The Fan.
This Vox in the Box live from the X, presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling and The Fan.
Do you and your buddies need a new place to watch the big games this year? Enter for your chance to win a $200 Crooked Pint gift card so you and your friends can enjoy the games on us. KFAN.com keyword contest.
News from XL Energy Center. Those of you joining us here at the X, we thank you very much for stopping by. And if you would like to take in the Wild Morning Skate and the 9 to noon Vox in the Box show with yours truly, Tenna B, Brandon Molesky, Eric Nordquist, D'Angelo Nordo is guiding the great ship Love Covenant on site, you're welcome to stop by. The practice and the radio show 9 to noon, open to the public today, courtesy of an extension of a deal that it's commemorating the Fan and iHeartRadio and all of our stations re-engaging with the Minnesota Wild on a five-year extension. So our listeners, as Brandon Molesky will put on Twitter certain times of the year, we have the greatest listeners in the history of radio, and a fair amount of them have shown up today. Wild Skate, 35 minutes from now. Stop by the X, enter at no charge, and do so at gate one. Now, the president of the team, Matt Maka, joins the radio show 45 minutes from now to not only talk about that deal, but to talk about some broader things involving the Minnesota Wild. He will be preceded by Russo Radio. Michael Russo will be here 15 minutes from now. Former member of the Wild, Ryan Carter, is here in an hour. And radio analyst Tom Reed joins us in the box at 11:15, courtesy of TimberTech and TimberTech.com. We mentioned the extension, and we mentioned the re-engaging of the collaboration with that. Not only are we happy to have listeners at the X today, but listeners have an opportunity to take in the Wild playing the Speedy Hawks in just a couple of weeks.
Hell yeah. So part of the five-year extension that we're pumped about, we're going to celebrate, and we are giving one of you the chance to win a flyaway trip to Chicago March 18th through the 21st to see the Wild take on the Blackhawks at United Center in Chicago. That also happens to be the game that PA will be calling on the road, so very excited about that. To register for your chance to win, all you got to do is tweet using the hashtag iHeartWild. Wild.
I Heart Wild.
And for details, of course, just go to KFAN1003 via Twitter. Learn all the details on the flyaway trip, but go to United Center, watch the Blackhawks, and have a blast.
Now, the A-section involved story with Nashville playing the Wild this evening is something Brandon brought up with Coach Dean Evason in the first segment, is that there were tornadoes in Tennessee and in Nashville last evening, and quite the devastating tornadoes came running through there, including what many would know as downtown Nashville. So on the ice, the Predators were tied with Edmonton into the third period. Edmonton scored 5 goals and eventually won 8-3.
5 goals in like 5 minutes.
5 goals in 5 minutes, man. Yeah. So, you know, now...
including 3 from Dreisaitl.
From an A-section standpoint and a human interest standpoint, legitimately speaking, you know, the players, they lose the game. They're negative on that professionally because they're on the playoff grind. And now you have a team traveling from Tennessee to Minnesota thinking about homes and families and schools and everything. And it's just so devastating. It's so awful. And, you know, nothing but prayers for everybody involved with that. But that legitimately, from an A-section standpoint, impacts tonight's game.
Yeah, I mean, for those that you know, have family that they're leaving back, I can't imagine, one, not only having to deal with a tornado going through my hometown, but then, two, having to leave my family to pick up the pieces, the amount of the stress I'd be through. And, you know, as Dean Evason said, sometimes the way sports work is, you know, you can kind of rally around that and you know, maybe play for the city and kind of be a little bit more focused. And they have a big game tonight, just like the Minnesota Wild do. On the ice, they can't be happy with the way that thing ended last night at home against the Edmonton Oilers, and to give up 5 in a row in the third period. And you got two teams that are relatively tired here. I mean, Nashville is going to be playing their third game in 4 nights tonight. The Wild will be playing their fourth game in 6 days.
Yeah.
So, but I would have to imagine that it's going to have a playoff feel tonight. And from the Wild standpoint, it's nice to get a little bit more vibe coming back into this building. I was watching games earlier this year where, you know, they're not selling out. They got 17,000 announced, and it's probably actually 12,000, 13,000 that are actually attending.
Really?
It felt like a library here at times in the beginning of the year. And, you know, even though they lost to Washington the other night, I was at the game, and even just before the game, the noise and the attendance, I just thought, you know, one, that they're playing better, obviously. I think they got a little bit of star power now with Fiala, and you got one that you think is going to be coming here in Kaprizov. The vibe is starting to come back a little bit, and obviously their performance on the ice is going to be it's going to propel that moving forward.
Well, you mentioned playoff push for not only the Minnesota Wild but the Nashville Predators, and you had a tweet earlier this morning about that involved playoff chances.
Yes.
And for those who clicked on it and went deep diving on it, that there actually are some eye-opening things involved in that tweet and that grid, not only involving teams around the NHL, but specifically the Wild.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to be smart enough to know how they come up with these percentages and how accurate the percentages are, but a website called MoneyPuck.com has percentages for each NHL team, their percentage to make the playoffs, second round, third round, make the Stanley Cup final, win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You might be surprised that the Wild, they have a 62% chance to make the playoffs.
Right.
Even though they've been sitting on the outside in for the longest time.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I'm guessing
games in hand would have to matter in that, right?
Games in hand, even though they don't really have the games in hand on Nashville anymore, which is the team they're chasing.
But you got 2 on the Jets and 2 on the Coyotes.
Correct. Yeah. So I think the games in hand has something to do with it. The fact that probably they look at the schedule, the remaining schedule.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say it's an easy schedule, but it's not as difficult as others in terms of winning percentage in the teams you're playing. I mean, even after tonight, the Wild go on a 3-game road trip with L.A., San Jose, Anaheim.
Yeah.
And that's always been an extremely difficult road trip.
Right.
Where you're happy to get 3 out of 6 points. And I'm still not going to act like that's an easy road trip, but, you know, 3 teams that are 3 of the worst teams in the Western Conference. They got Nashville 3 times the rest of the way. But the most interesting part is, so I saw 62% make playoffs. I probably would have guessed 50-50, but
yeah.
62 is a little bit more. If you look at their percent chance to win the Stanley Cup,
what is it?
They're at 4.5%.
Oof.
That's more. That's higher than the St. Louis Blues.
The defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah.
Who currently have the best record in the Western Conference and won the Cup last year. They're at 4.2%. Jason Zucker's Pittsburgh Penguins have a 1.5% chance to win the Cup. Edmonton, who's higher in the standings.
So, what's Colorado?
Colorado is at 6.5%.
To win the Cup.
So, yes.
Okay, so maybe they factor in it's tough to repeat. I mean,
my guess is the way the playoffs work is you have to go through your division if you're one of the top three teams in your division, right?
Yeah.
So St. Louis has to go through Colorado and Dallas.
Yeah.
And then if you take second place out of those, you have to get through two of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Wild have a better chance of being a wild card going on the other side, going on the Pacific side, where
right.
it's where it's Vegas, Calgary. Right now, it's Calgary, Edmonton,
Vancouver.
Vancouver's in the mix. That's clearly the side of the bracket in the Western Conference you want to be in, and I'm gathering that's how they're assuming the Wild. I'm not ready to buy those percentages. If you make me bet, I'd still throw money on St. Louis over the Wild. But it is kind of interesting. Just if you look at the Wild's remaining schedule, the way they've been playing recently, and the fact that they could go through that side, you got some hope, I guess.
You you watch all the games, and you do Wild Fan Line a fair amount with Mick Tockett. So a question I was going to pose for Dean Evason, but I didn't get to it. From you watching these Wild games, and let's draw a line through the San Jose game. Okay, muck and grind, a super low-scoring game, San Jose on a back-to-back, icing the puck in periods two and three purposely, repeatedly, just to come up for air, and really played, schematically speaking, a wonderful game to win in a circumstance like that. Outside of that, now that the coach has been able to tinker, they've had some practices, they've traveled, they've won, they've lost, are you noticing conspicuously a more offensive approach to the Minnesota Wild? Because I believe he's doing things, but I just don't know enough about it to pinpoint what it is that's leading to more chances, more rushes. Maybe there's more chance-taking being taken, but there definitely is a more offensively sound team.
Well, one, even under Bruce Boudreau, this team was an average offensive team. They're basically right in the middle of the National Hockey League. So we look at the Wild and we think of their weakness as being offense, and I'm mm-hmm. not going to act like there's not room for improvement there, but the offense hasn't been killing them this year. It's been letting the goals in your own net.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's hard because the last four games before Washington, they were scoring 4, 5, 6, 7 every night, but it was Detroit, it was two games against Columbus, which is just ravaged with injuries right now and is basically playing kind of like their JV team as we speak.
Yeah.
So, but the Wild took care of business and dominated those three games.
At Columbus, they did. The one here was a bit of a grinder.
Now, to your point on the changes, yes, I do think Dean Evason is trying to get the team to play with more pace, play up the ice, play with more speed.
Mm-hmm.
That caught them a little bit against Washington. In that three-goal stretch in the first period, the Wild's defensemen were being very aggressive at the offensive zone blue line. They were pinching, and they got caught multiple times, giving up odd-man rushes, puck over to Ovechkin on the back door. And you could tell after about the halfway point of the first period against Washington, the Wild's aggressiveness halted pretty quickly after three goals in about a four-minute stretch.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do think that they are trying to be a lot more aggressive, and you should. I mean, you've got defensemen that can jump up on the play, and Suter and Spurgeon and Dumba, and when Hunt's on your third pairing and Brodin can skate, I mean, that's the strength of their team is their top four or five defensemen. So you should play to your strength.
Yes, sir.
So you asked Dean when he was here, Dean Evason, about the goalie situation and using Stalock and what he might do tonight and moving forward. How do you perceive that situation with Stalock and Dubnyk?
Well, Stalock's played four straight. I didn't think he was great against Washington. I'd still come back to him tonight. I just think all season long the team has played better in front of him. They played with more confidence in front of him. I think he brings out that confidence in the team. I'm not going to act like he's the greatest goalie and he doesn't have flaws and will give up a soft goal occasionally, but it would be hard in the biggest game of the year up until this point to throw Devan Dubnyk back out there when you haven't had confidence in Dubnyk and he hasn't played in four or five games now. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, he didn't reveal who he's going to start tonight, but
right.
I would think you'd go back to Stalock again tonight.
From XL Energy Center, this is Vox in the Box. Russo Radio around the corner. It is the Wild in Nashville this evening, 7 o'clock on The Fan. Back after this.
This Vox in the Box live from the X, presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling, on The Fan.
You know, say, in all of the Vox in the Box radio shows we've done, Russo Radio, that I can remember you wearing a hat.
Mm.
And, hey, everybody here, Russo Radio, Michael Russo, fan faithful, you know who he is, 9 to noon, bumper to bumper, the athletic hour on the Plus, and we have a very, very nice group of loving listeners who have joined us today, Michael Russo, Russo Radio, in the Penalty Box, and you wore a hat. Is that a curveball of vanity?
Yeah, I was just trying to make sure I didn't blind them behind me with my bald spot. So decided to.
So wait, so you knew they were coming?
Oh yeah,
this hat
is 100% because they're behind me.
Oh, so it's a fastball.
Yeah,
related to vanity.
You know what? I've got to deal with Dan Myers and Anthony LaPanta enough putting pictures of my bald spot on Twitter.
Well, that's
not kind. I didn't need 100 people behind us to do the same thing.
Okay, so you definitely thought it out.
Yep.
There was, you know, from preeminent dominating beat writer standpoint, there was a moment of vulnerability where you know, you were like, I just don't want to deal with that, right?
No, exactly. And it was the last thing I did. I had gel in, and then all of a sudden you put out the tweet that they were coming again.
Yeah.
And it honestly was like the last thing I did. I ran into the house and grabbed the first hat that I saw, which of course was theathletic.com/IKnowRusso.
Yes, of course.
40% off.
Hey, you know, just let's make him feel good, okay? Just, you know, for whatever's happening within that complicated mind. Thank you very much, B.
Oh, let's talk about what's going on the ice with the hockey team. Alex Daylock has started 4 straight games. I wouldn't say he was great against Washington. Had kind of the squeaker on the Tom Wilson goal that maybe he could have had, but. Are the Wild just going to ride him out here the rest of the way, or what's the plan with the goaltender?
I mean, they will. That's why part of me thought they might go with Dubnyk on the other night and just come back, because this is such an important game here. And then, you know, conceivably, you could play him all 3 games in California, and then you got a good stretch of off days next week to really get him ready. But I do think that we're going to see that a lot of Alex Daylock now, as long as he continues to play well and puts last game behind him. But, you know, even though the Wild have back-to-back games on this upcoming road trip in L.A. and Anaheim, it's not your typical back-to-back. I mean, they're going to be in Anaheim having dinner by, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, because it's a 1 o'clock game that day. So I think you could see, heck, we just saw Alex start a back-to-back that was a 7:30, 7 p.m. game with a flight. I think there's a very good chance if they win in San Jose that we're going to see a lot of him.
You know, with the interim Dean Evason, mm-hmm. you know, and the fact that he has been coaching and has replaced Boudreau for even less than a month, from that mm-hmm. Sharks game to where we are with the Caps on Sunday night. Would you look at it like, I certainly wouldn't bring this up with him, but would you look at it like there is a nothing to lose approach with the way he's handling things? And I'm certainly not saying go out of body, be flippant, be too abrasive, be too terse, you know, because you're like, I don't care what I say to try to get through to somebody, because I might not even be here next year.
Well, it's John Torchetti tried that with a couple of players, and I don't know if that worked out well for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of nothing to lose, though.
No, he doesn't, and he has everything to gain, because if this team makes the playoffs and goes on a run here and plays well down the stretch, he will be in the mix to be the next coach of the Wild and mm-hmm. the full-time head coach of the Wild. Right now, he's been doing a really quality job getting these guys playing. He's mixed up the lines. I'll be interested to see what he does tonight now that that Cunnan's going to be back in. I've got to think that, you know, maybe you pop Parisi or even Donato back up, you know, up to that top line with Stahl and Fiala, and you take out maybe Mayhew and you put Cunnan back at wing and maybe kind of reenact the geek line. We'll see. But I know that he likes Galchenyuk at center. That's something that right when they traded for him, I thought that it would make sense to use him at center to give him a tryout for next season, just because this team lacks such depth at center. And also because there's not a lot of great free agents out there at center. So, you know, to me, here's a great great chance to take a kid that was drafted, you know, third overall to be a center in the National Hockey League and put him back in that position, and let's see if he could do it.
In the waning days, let's say BD before mm-hmm. Dean, I mean, right at the end of the Boudreau run, including against the Blackhawks when they were here, the first line out there would be Stahl centering Parisi and Zuccarello. What was that trying to get Zuccarello going with players like that? Because Zuccarello, you know, he's clearly playing with different players and at different times than he was in the days right in front of BD.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think so. And we're not seeing that now. Now we're seeing him on a line with at least the last couple games with Foligno and Galchenyuk. Mm-hmm. They've got to get him going. I mean, he's just... you know, he hasn't been good. His 13 shots the last 14 games. I know he's not a shot producer, but when you're creating point-blank chances for himself every single night and he's not shooting, it's very aggravating to the coaching staff, and they're trying to find him a role on this team right now.
So that's like one of the subtleties with the change is like, okay, you know, we're not going to get loud about it, but first thing we're doing is moving this guy here.
Yeah, and we saw in Bruce, at the end of Bruce, that they couldn't find him a home too, and he's been downgraded, and at some point they might have to send him a message by putting him on the fourth line to get him going here. You know, the power play the other night, I mean, that was stuff that was driving Bruce crazy too, is, you know, he slows things down, he curls himself back to the wall, and then the other night he throws it right out of the zone. And luckily for the Wild, they got an offensive zone draw in that circumstance, and Fiala picked off an outlet, an attempted clear at the point, and created that incredible play that juked Tom Wilson out of his skates to set up the Parisi goal. But Mats has got to be better. I mean, it just does, and it is concerning that they've got him at 4 more years at $6 million with a no move that could potentially cost them a young forward. To expansion Seattle.
Well, one player that's been playing pretty well recently, at least the last 4 or 5 games, would be Ryan Donato. He's now up to 14 goals, which is more than Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah,
I find pretty amazing. But yeah. Doing it playing fourth line minutes. I know Evason's talked about it being it's the process. And,
yeah.
What does he need to do specifically to get more minutes?
And, yeah.
Is it going to start coming here soon?
It's interesting. All the Ryans are playing well for this team right now. Suter's, I mean, he's had a great season, and Hartman's playing his best hockey. And now Donato as well. And that line has 7 goals in the last 5 games. And that's the interesting thing here. It's like you almost don't want to mess with that line because they've actually been one of their biggest dangers. But I think the big thing with him is just working with him on his defensive game. You know, Dean actually was talking in Detroit about being above the puck and below the puck, and we were all looking at Donato as coming off this great final game before that road trip, and Dean immediately started talking about gave him a laundry list of examples of where defensively he just wasn't in proper position. So, you know, he's going to have to do that before they want him to go up, or they're willing to put him up there against with top lines and top defenders. I think that they protect him and insulate him a little bit on the fourth line because he's not going, you know, he's going against usually other teams' fourth lines and third pair defensemen, and it gives him the ability to score goals. But I think he needs to play more. He's seventh in the league, and I hate the stat, by the way, but he's seventh in the league in goals per 60 minutes, which is just crazy. He's first on this team, 1.49. I went through the 161 players 2 nights ago that had 14 goals, at least 14 goals in this season, and he's by far the lowest ice time, by 3 or 4 minutes a game. So it'd be nice to get him a little more ice time and see if he could do it. You know, we'll see how the lines shake up tonight, and he might get elevated. We'll see.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Nashville team we're playing tonight, because they, in my opinion, underachieved last year. They're underachieving this year. If you just look on paper and you look at the roster, from the goaltender to what they have at defense and at the forward position and adding Duchene in the offseason, you feel like they should be in a better spot than where they are, where they're battling for a playoff spot here. So what's your explanation as to why this team has kind of been on the decline the last
year? They're one of the most bizarre teams in the league. It's hard to figure out. I think a lot of it is goaltending. I know that, you know, because Peck is such an upstanding guy there, every time the Predators lose with him in net, they all stick up for him and say it was their fault. But I watched a lot of that game last night, and as much as Dreisaitl and McDavid let him up, I mean, he needs to be better as well. And so we'll see Saros tonight. It's not a shock that we're going to see Saros tonight. I mean, Pekka in this building perennially has been atrocious.
Yeah.
But against the Wild in Nashville, he's been unbelievable. So that's where it starts. But I do think up front, it just under Peter Laviolette, things dried up. I mean, he is a coach that usually has an expiration date, and I think we saw that this year in Nashville where guys just weren't responding to him. He's somebody that, I mean, you look at some of their guys and the goals that they have. I mean, they're, you know, Duchene has not had a great year. Granlund's only recently playing really well. He's playing absolutely his best hockey. Forsberg's somebody else. It's, you know, you just expect more from. So they're definitely an odd team, and you do have to wonder if all the years of trading picks and prospects to try to go and win a cup has suddenly put them in a position where they just don't have a lot coming here. And, I mean, you know, they've traded first-round picks for guys like, you know, Hartman and guys like, Paul Gostad. I mean, they've always seemed to throw away those picks, and I think it's catching up to them.
Hey, from a Wild standpoint or a National Hockey League standpoint, Anything or what's at theathletic.com right now that should get subscribers like me to get in there and look at, or maybe even people sign up?
Well, we have LeBron and Custance down at the GM's meetings in Boca. I was just texting with Garen down there to just kind of catch up on what's going on with the news down there and catch up with some of the things going on with the Wild before he meets this team back up.
Yeah.
We have so many great stories. I was just actually reading one right before I left the house by Joe Smith, who he did a 10-year sort of oral history on the start of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the reason why it was interesting to me is Jack Sperling helped start that that ownership situation there, and Jack is one of the people that helped bring hockey back to the state of hockey. So a ton of stuff on there, and we're going to have a ton coming up here this upcoming week with The Athletic from me. I'm going to do a mailbag on my flight to San Jose tomorrow. I got a big Q&A with Brad Bomadier on all their prospects, which that's the one area where this organization has made great strides with the last couple of years. Coincidentally, San Jose Barracuda hosts the Iowa Wild tomorrow night. So when I land, I'm going right to the Iowa Wilds Hotel. I'll do a podcast with Tim Army, their head coach. Then I'll cover the game tomorrow night and grab an Iowa Wild feature for next week. I mean, they are having an unbelievable season, Iowa, and we'll see if that continues, if Mayhew gets back there, and they might have a little bit of a goalie dilemma going on right now.
Hey, stick around, okay?
Yep.
Brandon, thank you very much.
Bye.
Hey, Jenna B., first hour co-host, Box in the Box. Thank you, everybody, KFA and listeners. Russo Radio sticks around. I'm Paul Allen from XL Energy Center. It's Box in the Box here, not only trying to keep White Horse Radio, Elixir Radio, alive in undefeated fashion. The radio show 6-0 this year when doing Box in the Box Days of Games. But we're here commemorating a 5-year radio extension with the Minnesota Wild and iHeartMedia, of course, including FM 100.3. KFAN. We also are offering you the chance to win a flyaway trip to Chicago March 18th through the 21st. The Wild play the Blackhawks at United Center on March 19th. So watch the Wild take on the Blackhawks to register for your shot to win. You can head to KFAN1003 via Twitter for details and tweet the hashtag #IHeartWild. That is IHeartWild for your chance to win. Second hour of the radio show around the corner. Good morning. It's 9 to noon.
You're listening to PA on the Fan.
Clock 9 to noon radio, Vox in the Box with the sounds of hockey sounding better in FM. Your Minnesota Wild with 71 points, a home record of 18-11-5, take on the Nashville Predators, a team defeated last evening at home while allowing 5 goals in lickety-split fashion to the high-flying Edmonton Oilers. They lose 8-3, and on the road, they still are 16-11-4. They have 72 points, the Wild have 71 points, and we are in the stretch of the 2019-2020 National Hockey League season. Russo Radio, The Athletic, and TheAthletic.com is with us now as the Wild zing around in the morning skate shortly after 10 o'clock. Nordo, Russo Radio, and Paul Allen. When it comes to prognosticating the leading scorer for this team at the end of the year, Parisi has 23, leading goal scorer. Parisi has 23 goals, Fiala has 20. If Parisi were minus 165 in this and Fiala plus 145,
I put money on Fiala.
And that plus money looks good right now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I would definitely do that. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's a great bet. You know, just the way that he's playing, and we've seen this now for a while now, and it's been a great 14 games. I was thinking the other night as we were watching Fiala on the power play that just it's been so long since the days of Gabrick, maybe the days of Ralston, that we, you know, looked at a Wild team and just said, hey, get that player the puck, and you just know that he's going to be able to do something with it, and that's how it was the other night. You could see it. I mean, that was the great part of that unit, is that you could see it with the Wild players on the ice. They were trying to get the puck to Fiala because they were right now know the type of player that he's quickly becoming right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
It's been pretty special to watch. You're seeing the development of somebody that in his own mind realizes how good he can be in this league and is you know, unabashed about that. I mean, you know, he's openly says that that's the player that he wants to become, and it's cool that we're seeing that confidence from him.
Hey, with the Capitals game and Ryan Donato specifically, and I was thinking about this after the game, Molesky and Mick Tockett brought it up on Fanline. Then you had a tweet yesterday where you quote tweeted something. It was something written with a black background and white print involving his time on ice, the amount of shots, and everything he did in like 14 minutes and change. So now I'm like, well, why? I mean, end of the equation, why were his minutes so low in that Capitals game?
Well, no, I mean, that was rated as average. He played 10.38 that game. He's averaged, I think, 10.41 this season.
My fault.
And, you know, I was just, I was quote-tweeting myself. I put a screen capture of a snippet that was in my game story the night before.
Gotcha.
Just kind of delved a little more into the numbers. And, you know, basically what I'm saying is that for a guy that's seventh in the NHL, in goals per 60 minutes, that it'd be nice to probably get him 3 or 4 minutes a night, or at a minimum, put him on the power play. We just don't see him on the power play, in my mind, enough. He's got an incredible skill set. You know, sure, he has weaknesses in his game. So does every player. I get, you know, there's a lot of nuances of the system and defensive side of the puck that the coaches see that the average fan and media member might not see. And Dean was trying to explain that to us the other day in Detroit as well. But it just, he I think, to me, warrants more ice time. All he does is score. You know, he's sat in the press box. He's bided time on the fourth line all year long, playing 10 minutes a night. And everywhere he's ever been, he scored. And I think with more ice time, I think that we'd see more of that from him.
Why is the power play continuing to evolve and get better? They've kind of crept their way from ultimate mediocrity now to a top 10 operation with the advantage.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's Fiala. I think a lot of it is just better puck movement. You know, that started really with 5 or 6 games left in Bruce Boudreau's tenure when Zuccarello was taken off that top power play, and Mikko was taken off the top power play in January as well, taken off pretty much the power play total, and now we're starting to see them playing well. I mean, Zach Parise has been just absolutely sensational on the power play all season long. 12 goals, tied for third in the NHL.
Mm.
He's back to being the power play expert that we've seen throughout the years.
Can I guess who leads, given I'm following it more closely now than I ever have? I'm going to guess Evander Kane.
In power play goals?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know. I think it's probably Dreisaitl, but, okay. But I haven't.
I remember when the Sharks were here. Yeah. And it was one of my practice calls doing a couple of periods, so I got the whole roster and the Nuggets and everything ready. And Kane had this absurd power play percentage per time on it was very analytical.
Evander or Patrick?
Evander.
I'll look that up right now.
And then he was scratched. Then he got suspended. You know, but man.
Evander. Well, Zach Parise's third in the league right now, and I think he's got 7 since the middle of January.
Yeah.
Now
I'm putting Evander in the top 4 at worst.
Yeah, I will tell you in seconds.
Go ahead, Nordo.
Well, the one thing I was curious about.
Pasternak 1.
Yeah.
Dreisaitl 2.
Okay. Parise 3.
Ovechkin 3.
Oh, great.
And then Neil Parise's advantage out tied for 4.
I still got some work to do.
Yeah.
All right, hey,
so it wasn't Evander Kane?
Yeah, 2 weeks. Oh. And
he's up there. He's in the top 10.
Okay, I got you, man. That's cool. I'm trying here.
When Bruce Boudreau was let go, it was kind of the idea, you know, talking about that Sharks game. You know, what can you really glean from that? Well, now we got games. Now we got games and we got time and we got distance, unfortunately, unlike your close proximity to the host right now. But we got some distance between that big event. And have we seen this team as they've, for the most part, been taking advantage of bad teams and overall playing better in those things? Are we starting to get a glimpse of what the eye-opening moment was supposed to be, the result of Guerin making that?
Well, I mean, it happened during a soft schedule, and I don't want to take anything away from this team or Everson, but it came at a good time for this team because they were playing a bunch of lowlights in the NHL here, and a Columbus team that's been good but is injury-decimated. But they've played two quality teams, in my mind, you know, since the firing of Bruce, and that was St. Louis and Washington. They lost both in regulation, so... You know, they still got to prove that they could play up there with those type of teams. Now, they've been mostly good against the top teams in the league this season. But those are the teams that you're going to have to wind up playing here. But they put themselves in a great position. They're a point out of the playoff spot and get back into that top 8 for the first time in 3 months tonight if they figure out a way to win and other things happen. And you know, as I've said all along, I think that if they could figure out a way to finish in the top wild card spot, this team really does have the ability to go on a little run here because In my eyes, I think Vegas is beatable. They're usually always beatable against Minnesota, but I just don't buy Edmonton, Calgary, or Vancouver. And the Wild have done a pretty good job of shutting top guys down for the most part of the season. And I look at Edmonton as being a total one-line team. We saw it again last night with Drysdale and McDavid. Now, that one line can absolutely destroy you in a playoff series. But if you could shut them down and check them to death and figure out a way to me, the Wild, to have a much better second, third, and fourth lines than the Oilers. So there's a way to beat the teams in the Pacific, in my mind.
Michael Russo, The Athletic, TheAthletic.com, at Russo Hockey via Twitter, 10:08. Sounds of Hockey right now. Wild Mornings game. Nashville in town this evening. That game is shortly after 7 o'clock. FM 100.3, KFAM. The great Bob Kurtz and Tom Reed. Tom Reed joins 9 to noon about an hour from now. 26, the Iowa Wild star, Jerry Mayhew. How well do you sense he fits in at this level? And, you know, I know it's in truncated fashion, so it's really difficult to throw a quilt over it. But if you were to prognosticate, like him doing what he does and what his skill set is, and no matter the circumstances, you are here and you are going to play it out, how well would he fit in?
You know, I think that I think he's probably shown us that he's not a 40-goal scorer in the NHL.
Correct.
He's been four straight games on the top line and on a team that scored 20 goals, and he hasn't generated a point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that he could play in this league easily. You know, I give Iowa credit. They've continued to win without him in the lineup there, and it says everything about the depth of that Iowa team. But Jerry's a good player. He's paid his dues down the minors. I definitely think that they have to make a decision on him going into the summer because he does require waivers to get to the minors next year. So
yeah.
You don't want to lose. You know, I think any team would take him off waivers.
Is he super fast?
No, I think that's probably his biggest issue right now in my mind.
See, the reason I ask is because it's like, this is the first time I've seen him in person. I did not realize how diminutive he was when he's like 3 feet away from you.
And, you know, he's somebody that, you know, in Iowa, he's evolved his game. I mean, he's an absolute sniper down there and goal scorer and power play specialist, but you don't get that much time and space that you do in the minors up here in the NHL. And we've seen it. You know, he's played that bumper position on the power play, and he just can't get any room to make any plays happen.
Yeah.
And he just almost seems like deer in the headlights there. And then you're right. I mean, what made him special in the minors is he's kind of a dog on a bone down there in terms of also being a goal scorer, and we haven't seen a lot of that here. So I definitely think that, you know, he's somebody that that has an absolute chance to play in this league, just probably not in the top six role.
Maybe I'm wrong on this, but how do you glean what kind of quality you have at the AHL level? Right now, Iowa's really good, and I'd always kind of heard that it's difficult necessarily to translate the 45-goal scorer down in Iowa or any AHL team versus what they might produce up here.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at the top. You know, I remember when I put out the list last week of 40-goal scorers in the last, you know, 15 years in the AHL down there. And obviously, you know, one reason why you score a ton of goals in the AHL is you're not getting called up to the NHL at all. But you look at the names, and there were guys like Kyle Konecker and Nigel Dawes. I mean, these are not exactly household NHL names. So that's the toughest thing that all fans need to understand sometimes, is that just because you score a ton of goals in the minors, this is an extremely different league, extremely different. And we've seen it throughout the years of guys that have lit it up down the minors and just come up and they can't translate. And so far, you know, I think the jury's still out on Jerry, but he definitely had a chance here the last four games to play on the top line, and he wasn't able to produce.
Do you sense Matt Dumba legitimately is coming on? I know we've had more goals, well, not a ton more, but Do you sense from an engagement standpoint and just this time of the season, somebody on whom they are counting and counting mightily, that it's coming together and he legitimately is coming on strongly?
Yeah, I think, you know, save for the last game probably, but he's hurt right now. I mean, we never see him not on the ice, and he's not on the ice for a second day in a row here. I think he'll try to play, but he definitely suffered a spill in Columbus and got banged up.
Yeah.
Harrison X banged up, Stahl's banged up. Brodin's definitely banged up. So these guys are playing through injuries right now, and so I think that was a big reason maybe that Dumba didn't look as mobile the other night against Washington. But you're right. I mean, the last really month, he started to play really well. That defense pair with Brodin and Dumba has been absolutely superb. And one reason why this team has gotten themselves back in the mix is they're just getting great play from their top four. You know, again, I think Suter and Spurgeon have been fantastic here the last couple months. Suter is the third highest scoring defenseman, or maybe it's fifth now, fifth highest scoring defenseman since mid-November in the NHL. He just creates offense for this team all the time, but he's also, you know, one of their best defenders. Spurgeon's been great in that top four. Now, if you can continue to spot that third pair into situations where they can be successful, you know, this team's got a chance to do something special, and it's pretty impressive they're doing this without Susie right now.
I'm going to end asking.
What am I missing?
I'm just giggling right now because of the.
How low I'm talking?
The metamorphosis of you, okay? Yeah. Now, because we discussed it 9 to noon yesterday, and you have seen it on Twitter, and you know, as we commemorate five more years with the Minnesota Wild and KFAN and iHeartRadio, you know, we have a big bash today with a bunch of fan listeners and Wild fans and sports fans here at XL Energy Center. And we have a fair amount of people right behind us at the penalty box. So immediately, the curveball you throw vanity is you are going to wear a baseball cap because of your bald spot. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that causes a chuckle initially.
Anxiety.
But then with the speaker behind us, for the listeners,
that's very awkward.
Meaning there is less than a 2% chance. And here are the sounds of hockey, okay, in the morning skate. Okay. So now there is less than a 2% chance anything you say can be heard by the players on the ice.
I just think that the fans behind us listen on their iHeartRadio app.
Okay.
And then I can just tell it like it is, like usual.
No, nevertheless, man, you are executing your toil in hushed tones because you're worried about these players.
I'm trying not to
Who in the hell are you?
I'm trying not to, like, everybody listening in their car. Not to, I'm just trying to keep it down on
Mike,
a,
when it when,
down low.
When it comes to radio, print, The Athletic, TheAthletic.com, TV or whatever, you're well down the road on pissing off people
and
having to mend bridges in a locker room, man. You know what I'm saying? Just quickly, 30 seconds. Games in hand, injuries, other teams, schedule, whole thing. Wild playoff team or not?
You know, right now it's looking good. I look at their schedule. I mean, I know they have more road games than home coming up here, but this team's been a better road team than home in my mind for the last little while.
Yeah.
To me, it's a soft schedule, and this team, as long as they stay healthy, I mean, that's the thing. And they've got to get goaltending.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest concern, and I mentioned it a little bit at the end of the first segment, but Kähkönen got hurt last night.
Well, I thought you did, but I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, Kähkönen got hurt last night. So now, I mean, these are the two goalies.
Okay.
And they are going to have to ride this team to the promised land.
Yeah.
And you look at the numbers of one of them in particular, and it hasn't been very good. So that's the one goalie.
Yeah.
And he's better. He better continue to be good.
Nordo, 9 to noon. Yeah. Very much hopes they win this evening.
Yeah, really rooting for the Wild.
Yeah, but if things do not go well for the team, then you know, like if somebody has a bad turnover or something that leads to a Roman Josi goal, you know, we're going to have to describe it like this tomorrow, 9 to noon. Okay, just in case Dean Evason is listening.
Well, the cool thing is we have a scapegoat, and it's not the listeners that are in attendance here at the X. It's Russo's ball cap.
Yep, there's no doubt.
Russo's ball cap.
A curveball of vanity. Okay?
The karma killer.
Michael, bless you, and thank you very much, and enjoy the game.
Sip.
Minnesota Wild President Matt Maka joins us next.
This Vox in a Box live from the X, presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
The Fan.
Enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Masked Singer National Tour June 3rd at the Orpheum Theater, KFAN.com, keyword events.
That you've given me, the memories are all in my mind. And now that we've come.
10:21, 9 to noon, back at XL Energy Center. Vox in the Box with the sounds of hockey winding down. The Minnesota Wild's morning skate in advance of a game against Nashville this evening coming to a conclusion. And we are very, very happy now to be joined by the president of the Minnesota Wild, Mr. Matt Maka, for many reasons, not only the fact that the Wild, KFAN, and iHeartRadio. I've gotten together on a five-year extension. We also, via Twitter, at KFAN1003, if you would like to learn more, you can use the tweet, hashtag iHeartWild. And that gives you a chance to win a flyaway trip to Chicago, March 18th through the 21st. See the Wild beat, take on the Chicago Blackhawks. And for your opportunity to win, once again, via Twitter, hashtag iHeartWild, as the president joins the radio show now. And, you know, when we have conversations, Matt, one of many things where I have a super high level of appreciation for what you do is that, you know, a president may be the final voice or the final decision on certain things, but when it comes to an extension with a radio station, Fox Sports North, Brian Heating and Cooling, Warner Stallion, whomever, it's a collaborative effort.
Yep.
And I would imagine, you know, people in marketing, yeah, and just a lot yeah, goes into it to make something that big transpire. Good morning. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely true. And thanks, PA. We're thrilled to go forward with you all. And it's been, we're getting to be pretty longtime partners now. And it feels really comfortable and right.
Good.
But you're right. Mitch Helgerson and his team and lots of folks on our side and your side worked hard to make this happen. But to be honest, I don't think it was that difficult because we've gotten really comfortable with each other. And there's a lot of mutual respect between the staffs. And we're just really happy to go forward with you all.
How's business? Are things okay?
Yeah, they're okay. That's good. Probably a good word for it, being honest.
That's fair because end of the season, you and that's another one of many reasons I love chatting with you on and off the microphone is you are honest about things. And end of the season, very early in the season, the first Vox in the Box, you talked about a specific number where season ticket sales were down into the season, some of the challenges in the state of hockey, but subsequently things that are good too were kind of still there, right?
That's right. I mean, this business is cyclical, and we had a really nice run for 6+ years and full buildings and playoffs and all that, and we're in a little bit of a valley, but we're coming out of it pretty nicely at the moment, and fans are reacting. The game against Washington on Sunday was a really fun hockey game, great atmosphere, and a nearly full building, but we're going to get back to that, and fans here in the state of hockey, they appreciate good hockey, and we're playing some good hockey right now.
You know, with the collaboration, the re-engagement with iHeartRadio, and specifically FM 100.3 KFAN, our family, where I work just outside of Minneapolis in St. Louis Park, there are just so many not only Wild fans, but there are people from other stations who willingly are looking to assist with things Minnesota Wild related. We're the flagship. I get the opportunity to fill in for the great Bob Kurtz, March 19th and 20th at Chicago and Winnipeg. Paul Fletcher from Cities 97 does a lot with you in arena.
Right.
Rachel Ramsey from K102. Yep. She'll join me frequently for Vox in the Box. Mm-hmm. Obviously her dad's Mike Ramsey. Yeah. So it's not just KFAN. It's the family meshing with the family.
That's exactly right. And so many of those names you just mentioned, they're all hockey people, right? Yeah. Again, we're in the state of hockey. You don't have to throw a rock very far to run into somebody that loves the game, right?
Yeah.
And all those people do, and they have it in their blood, and that's just who we are here in Minnesota, which is awesome.
Matt Maka, president of the Minnesota Wild, joining us at 10:25. Ryan Carter follows him, then analyst Tom Reed 45 minutes from now. Sounds of Hockey winding down. Penalty Box, XL Energy Center. It's Vox in the Box. Good morning. Now, your 2 decades with the Minnesota Wild. And not only now, and I'm not being 54-year-old guy, get off my lawn. So this is not only now, but it probably has been for quite some time. The focus and or the emphasis on what is right in front of you. Well, when you're with an organization for 20 years, 2 decades like you, the journey. Do you tell me about the journey?
Yeah.
Not necessarily from rollerblades, marketing, to now I'm the president, and 6 years unbelievable, now we're on the grind a little bit, but just the blessing of the journey.
That, and it's so funny you use that, because that's the word I always use with people when they ask about working here. It has been a really blessed journey, and I would start with the people that I get to work with. They are great people. We've had 2 great owners in my tenure here, and we've just been blessed that way. And the people, the fans of that fill this building most every night. It's just an honor to be here. And have you ever heard of imposter syndrome, where you wake up, you're like, what am I doing in this job? How am I Yeah. Like, I don't, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, with these games I'm calling for you, March 19th and 20th in Chicago and Winnipeg, I'm having the nightmare of imposter syndrome involving Doc Emmerich, and I can never get there. So, therefore, cold sweats and I lose sleep.
Well, I can relate to all that. You know what I mean? I wake up with those thoughts that even after 20 years. Jeez. That's how lucky I think I am and we are to be here in this building selling hockey and trying to make something special happen.
And there are just so many. I mean, again, if you take a deep breath and smell the roses for a second and, you know, you're not thinking about iHeart deal. Sometimes we show 17, but there might have been 14, but ticket sales and the whole thing. And you think about the complexity of the journey and handling prosperity and how do people handle despair. And you just learn so much about so many for so long. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, it sure is. And that's life, right? You know, it's hard to stay on top for too long and you get humbled and you work your way back and it's all good. You know, we're lucky to be here and I really like how our season's coming along now.
No doubt.
It's really, this team is so fun to watch right now. They're working so hard. Yeah. And for the most part, the results have really been there lately too, and we're pushing hard. Tonight's going to be a massive
big time
game. Yeah.
Matt, how about the week in the building? Yeah. I mean, you have Nashville tonight, then the team leaves tomorrow, play San Jose on Thursday on the road. But what about this week, man? It's such, you know, I moved here full-time in 98, and you've lived here, or you're from here, correct? You're from here? Yeah. So it this week with the state high school hockey tournament and just how special that is to so many people in the state, you know, as Nordo and I were discussing yesterday, even if hockey fans don't have a cliched horse in the race, like their high school isn't in it, it still brings people together. They go to Tom Reed's, they go to Cassetta's, they come over here and watch the kids, and the coronation of a champion. On the other side, the despair, the hair and everything. It's just, it's hockey immortality this week.
Yeah, it really is, and it's such a cool tradition, and we're so lucky to have it here in our building every year, and to see this place filled and the energy and enthusiasm, and like you say, the thrill of winning, the agony of losing, the raw emotion of this tournament is so pure and so authentic. It's unlike any other event we have in the building, really. Yeah. It's awesome.
What has it been like working with Mike Madonna?
Yeah, Mike's a fan. As you know, Mike, I didn't know Mike that well until he came on board with us. I knew of him, but he is just an outstanding person and a good person and comfortable to be around for anybody, you know, whether you're a fan in awe of him or whoever you are. He makes you comfortable,
right?
And he's a good soul, and he's doing great things for us, including helping us find and hire our new general manager. Mike was part of the process with Craig and I, and interviewing last summer, and he added great value this time around, and we were lucky to have him with us.
Yeah, so I mean, last time I was here, Mike joined for an elongated segment, and he had just come from maybe a meeting with you or something involving marketing, sat down with me. So we're doing radio. Then he had something with Bill Guerin at 11:25. And then after that, he had something with sales. So, I mean, that sounds fantastic. Not only because he's Mike Madonna, but embracing the job the way he has, willing to do whatever it takes with anybody.
Whatever it takes. That's the key thing. He doesn't act like he's Mike Madonna.
Right.
Like he could. Some would. But Mike doesn't do it. He brings donuts to the office. For the whole frickin' office, he brings donuts. You know, he's amazing. He's a humble soul and a good person.
What describe your level of pride in the slogan "State of Hockey"?
Yeah, well, you can't really capture it or describe it. And really, the one thing I want to say about that brand platform, that slogan, is that it came from the fans. Yeah. They're the ones that told us this is the state of hockey. They maybe didn't use those exact words, but they are the ones that expressed the sentiment 20 plus years ago when we first started doing research around what do you want this team to be? What do you want this organization to be when we grow up? And they said, respect the game and honor the game and our place, Minnesota's special place in this game. And they really told us the state of hockey, and they led us there, and we didn't have any great vision. We just kind of sort of resonated with what they were telling us.
Why hockey for you? I mean, you know, when you are taking the path you're taking, scholastically and then professionally, why hockey? Why not football, baseball, basketball, soccer, whatever?
I liked all sports growing up, but hockey was my favorite sport. Baseball and hockey, I'd say, were my favorite sports.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the speed of the game, and, you know, you know, I played some through high school. I wasn't great. I wasn't good enough to play beyond that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But so I have some sense for how hard it is, what these guys are doing every single night,
yeah.
how, the speeds they're moving at, the skill they're displaying on a little blade. That mm-hmm. That's the thing that separates it for me from any other sport, is that you're not even on your feet. You know, you're on this little thin blade, and you're doing these ridiculously talented and skilled things at speed.
Yeah.
And so that to me, and I like the constant movement of the game, too. I can't totally tell you, but to me, it's the best game, and it's certainly the best game in person to watch. I love watching a game live. It doesn't translate as well to TV, but
yeah.
man, watching the game here is something special.
Last one. Organizationally, where are preparations now for the Winter Classic, yeah. even though it seems miles away?
Yeah.
From an organizational standpoint, it is probably something every week, right?
Yeah, it is. And the league, you know, the league really does lead the effort. It's their event in so many ways, but they listen hard to us since we know the market. And so, yeah, right now we're, you know, the league are working closely with Target Field, and the Twins have been such great partners in this effort. They're working closely with Target Field to get the manifest built, which is this how seats will be situated, because it's a unique event. There, mm-hmm. There'll be different types of seating available than for a Twins game. So getting that all set up so that we can start seating our season ticket holders, they'll have first priority. And
that's
then
great.
Tickets are going to go, I can assure you, they're going to go fast. So, you know, we've had a lot of interest from folks that are other than season ticket holders, and we hope we can get to them later on in the summer, depending upon availability.
I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to fill in Bob Kurtz in a couple of weeks at
yeah.
Chicago and Winnipeg.
We're looking forward to it, PA.
And also welcome your family back to ours and ours with yours. We love the partnership. You know, we have been doing Vox in the Box before the Wild were on the Fan.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a 10, 11, 12 year thing,
right.
man, and it's unique.
And your record is awfully good. This year, 6-0.
We're knock on wood. We're 6-0 this year, but you know,
God.
Truly the thing that I am enjoying most about it is clearly there are players who know players within the league,
mm-hmm.
and they've been told when you come to St. Paul, if there is a radio show there, there's going to be a $100 bill hanging during your skate, and they're starting to line up for it without us even saying, hey, come on over here.
Great.
So it's a novelty. It's just something different,
yep.
you know, in the world of pro sports.
Right,
very
on.
Genuine. I very much enjoy it.
Thanks, PA. Always great to
yep.
see you, and good
bless
luck
you, buddy.
With your time in the booth.
Appreciate you, bud.
Take care.
I'm Matt Maka, president, Minnesota Wild. Ryan Carter joins us next.
Free the Fan.
Ryan Carter joins on 9 to Noon, analyzes Wild hockey occasionally on Fox Sports North, White Bear Lake native, and also was on the Power Trip Morning Show today, and works with the Wild, former player. It's great to have you back on the radio show. The Wild Morning Skate has come to a conclusion, and they play the Predators this evening. That may be first and foremost on your hockey-loving mind, but I will begin where I began last time, because we are that much closer to, for you, what may be deeply rooted in your heart, the hope of a coronation of a Frozen Four champion, where your Mankato Mavericks are number two in the pairwise. They were number two in the pairwise last time, also behind North Dakota. But now, with conference tournaments taking place, and then the NCAA tournament, they're a cinch to make it, and then the Frozen Four, it's starting to get a little heated, and good morning.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, you know, unfortunately, my high school alma mater couldn't get past Hill Murray, otherwise Oof. It'd be,
yeah.
you know, we'd have them all going. But yeah,
pesky no. private schools, man.
Hey, they're good.
That's what they're saying up Andover way right now, pesky private schools.
That's right, that's right.
If they're down two goals, are they going to bring out swords?
Yeah, who knows? But, you know, Mankato, it's exciting. They're a fun team to watch. I think they're only going to get better, too. They, you know, they're number two in the pairwise, but
yeah.
they've gone most of the year without their top two centermen.
Okay.
Or chunks of the year without their top two
You're
centermen.
Slow playing this.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you don't want to jinx it.
I don't want to jinx it.
You know it's really good.
Right.
They need to win a game in the tournament this year.
Their goalie's playing well. I think he's player of the week, WCHA player
okay.
of the week right now. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of things going, but you're right. I do not want to jinx this.
Right. So, okay, this is stupid question for the radio show number 5-3-2. With the way D'Angelo Nordo framed that up, am I to believe the Mavericks have never won a game in the NCAA tournament? Is it like a never?
I believe they have never won an NCAA tournament game at the Division I level.
Ooh, I'm going to lay this on you, and this I'm not proud of this, but my alma maters, White Bear Lake, I think were 0-19 first game in the state tournament. And then in the national tournament, NCAAs, Mankato has not won a game yet. So
horns up.
Karma convergence.
Can horns just be up once?
Yeah, we need it. I'm starting to think it's me, though.
Okay, the Frozen Four is at Little Caesars in Detroit. Now, if your beloved Mavs, and it's the opposite of knocking on wood, it's almost like saying, by faith, they get to the Frozen Four, because if you can't be like, knock on wood, they get to the Frozen Four, knock on whatever, they haven't even won a playoff game. So hopefully, by forechecking faith, they're able to move forward and get to Little Caesars in Detroit, if that were the case, and they have the opportunity to experience the coronation of a champion. Would you go to the games?
Oh, absolutely, for a couple of reasons. One, I have to be there. Two, yeah. Little Caesars Arena, and here comes Gerald Mayhew, who grew up just down the road.
Yeah.
It's a great venue.
Okay.
And it should be good for college hockey, too, you know. So I'd go for a couple of reasons. Take a game in as a fan in that barn, and also root on the Mavs, because you're right. I'd be on the ice. I'd be the first one down.
As a Mavericks fan, former player, and alum, would you be to that fan base and that team akin to what, like, Jack Nicholson is to the L.A. Lakers? I mean, would you, like, wear dark shades and a Little Caesars lower bowl and, like, be the star fan or what?
Well, I'd be behind the glass on the benches pounding on him saying, let's go. But,
yes.
Yeah, no, that would be fun. I don't know that I'd be at that level.
Got you.
Yeah, but that'd maybe be Dan Myers.
Right.
Yeah.
With the Frozen Four at Little Caesars, it you know, I know that they've had it in Tampa. It's been in Massachusetts. Of course, it's been here at XL Energy Center. I wonder why Detroit. I mean, it's like, wasn't it at Ford Field one time? Yeah, I believe it was at Ford Field. And what I'm getting at here is simply because it's such low-hanging fruit, where if it's at Target Center, XL Energy Center, in a hockey-loving state, You're going to have either sold out crowds or very big crowds. Sometimes when you get this Frozen Four in different places, and you know, I know Detroit is quote hockey city, end quote, but I mean, if there aren't a lot of people there, and like Michigan or Michigan State or whatever is not involved, you know, then the low hanging fruit's going to be people tweeting and talking about small crowds and college hockey and stuff like that. I just get bored with it, man.
No, I agree with you, and I think to some extent, it is a crapshoot on who's going to make the Frozen Four, because if there are no Michigan teams in there, it might be a pretty quiet building. And similar, like, even if it was here, Minnesota, if there's no Minnesota teams in the Frozen Four,
right,
I don't know that people are coming to watch Notre Dame play Miami of Ohio or something like that.
You know,
I don't know how many people are from the town.
You don't think even in this hockey-savvy state, if we eliminate every Minnesota team, if it's not like Motzko's team, your team, Duluth, St. Cloud, Bemidji, the whole thing, you think it would be a super small crowd?
Well, I think the Frozen Four is probably a different beast, but if you look at just the conference tournaments in general, like the NCHC or the Big Ten, like they have the Big Ten tournament here, and if the Gophers aren't playing, I mean, if they're not playing in it, there's nobody here, and it's a big deal. Like, some of those schools are big.
Well, then I'm certainly not speaking, you know, for the Big Ten or conferences or college hockey overall. But I mean, if that legitimately is a concern, then why do you put it in giant arenas? Why don't you put it in smaller arenas? Do we get into the politics that are faced between the who, what, where, when, and why of where you should be or advertising? For instance, the age-old conversation involving women's or girls' high school hockey and where their tournament is compared to the X and or at the X and stuff like that per the crowds. It just gets so deep and complicated, man.
Yeah, it does. I agree with you, and I'm not in those rooms. I don't make those decisions, but I'd assume that they don't want to get caught with their pants down and be in a venue that's too small all of a sudden. But to your point, as a player on that ice, I'd rather play in a smaller venue that has atmosphere than 100%. An empty building, for sure.
You think, now, not simply because of the route you took, but just overall, if you're 13, 14, 15, very good at hockey, you know you have a chip chair and a chance. Do you think college hockey is the best route to getting to the NHL? I mean, do you strongly support, like, going high school, college hockey, or, like, what would you support for the route?
Boy, this is a cop-out, but I really think it depends on the player and the person. If you're a person that has the right mentality, I'd say you can forego college and try junior hockey and try to hit pro hockey right at 20.
Yeah.
That's the Canadian way. You have no choice, but you have to be a player at 20. If you think you might take a little bit longer, then college is your route because you can play up to 22, 23 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're ready to play and you're good right off the bat, but you're also strong mentally to the point where you compete, you can compete against men right at 20, ready to go. I'm playing against the big boys. Like, you know, you're going out there to compete with Gerald Mayhew, who's a good goal. He's a goal scorer in Iowa.
Yeah.
If you go that route, you're done with junior. You're playing against him, and you got to steal his minutes. That's not that easy. So you get a couple more years to season in college hockey. So I think college hockey is probably the route to go. Everybody's in such a hurry to be good and get where they're going.
That's
right
what
now.
I was like, getting at, because it's risky. Because if your advisors or you make that wrong decision at that time, and something goes amiss, and now you're trying to retreat and go back to, say, college hockey or whatever, the landscape may have changed, and it can be a long play, life-changing decision, you know?
Well, and it's also scary that when it comes to like college majors, like, it's scary that you have to make your life's decision right there at 18, but that's the reality of it. If you choose junior hockey, and I'm talking major junior, like Canadian major junior, where you cannot go play NCAA hockey after.
Okay.
It ruins your eligibility.
Yeah.
So then, boom, you've made that decision at 18, and at 20, you can't go back from it. And you're only 20 years old, you know? So
if you make that decision and go to that junior circuit where you can't come back to college, I would imagine your chances of getting to the NHL are still below 50%, right?
Oh, yeah. Much below that.
Much below.
All of a sudden, if you're 20 years old, you have no place to play. Nobody's investing in you. If you're not a draft pick, you're done.
What the hell?
You're done.
Well, then what do you do?
At 20. You
go to Europe.
You try to go. No, you're not going to get a job in Europe. Europe has good players. You go to the Southern Professional League, and then you try to make it to the East Coast League. Then you try to make it to the American League. Then you try to get an NHL deal, and you figure that out. Like, it's going to take you years. All of a sudden, now you're 5 years old. You're 25, 26 years old before you get a sniff.
Mm-hmm. Now, part of this has kind of impacted college hockey in itself, where you look at a guy like Motzko, who he'll have the 18-year-old blue chippers, the guys that are drafted, and he's got to make decisions on how to mix those in with kids that'll play 3-4 years with the maroon and gold. Whereas there are some kids, even with Hastings' group, and I don't remember what it was like when you were still there, and I was just some drunk kid in college down there, but you see those 23, 24-year-old players, which then maybe equates to the Mavericks, horns up, being second or third in the pairwise, where Motzko's got to do a little more juggling to try and grow these kids each year.
And there's no question, and to the point you made, I'm not necessarily sure that those 18-year-old kids are going to be with the maroon and gold for 3 to 4 years. There's turnover with those kids because those are typically their high draft picks. And it's not that Mankato or a club like that doesn't want those players, but they understand, like, hey, if I, you know, dedicate X number of my resources to try to land this one kid, now I'm missing out on some of these other ones, and then all of a sudden he's gone in 2 years. It's not good for my program. So I think the philosophy down in Mankato, to your point, and you're right, is that I'm going to get mature players, older players that are experienced, that can battle, that are going to be here for 4 years, that they're going to grow with my program, and we're going to have a culture within that room, and then that's going to show on the ice. We're going to play a certain way. Everybody knows it. We're not going to change, but we're going to be good.
But philosophically speaking, with college hockey, I think that's fascinating, because there have either been Gophers teams back with Lucia or other teams during, in the state, but specifically the Gophers, where there, I can't remember the names, man, but there have been 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 high-enders, okay? Highly touted players, speed, the whole thing. A, you know they're not going to be there the full time, but B, in the ultimate team game, where they all are wanting to show what they can do for the next level, that doesn't always mesh. So, I mean, you can have the best players on paper, the most talented, but in this game, man, if you don't have that teamwork and that cohesiveness, then you're going to get bounced.
You're absolutely right. And then on the flip side of that, there's always another kid coming that's highly touted, that's the next coming of McDavid. And if he signs with that club, how does that go in your locker room? Where do those minutes go? Now, I've been here for a year, and I've worked for these minutes, and I have to share them with this new 18-year-old kid that comes in just because he's a high draft pick. And then all of a sudden, your room's battling with each other.
No doubt.
And, you know, and that's the reality with college hockey, and even hockey in the minors, is you're playing against the opposition, but your real competition is right in the room.
Now, the Nashville Predators are here this evening. The game is on the Fan shortly after 7 o'clock. The Predators lost last evening, gave up 5 in the third period. Bad night for Pekka Rinne. But also off the ice, some just awful news involving tornadoes in Tennessee and Nashville, and players now traveling here wondering, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say, like, with their individual houses or, like, what, because a player wouldn't come if that were the case. If like, a house was nearly devastated and a family left astray, those players aren't going to come. So I haven't heard whether everybody is here for Nashville or not. But nevertheless, just the surrounding circumstances with that, and they lose, then they leave, and then they know about this, and it's deep, and, you know, they'll hear a name of a school, and they'll be like, Billy and Johnny, go to that school, man. Right. I wonder what's happening back home. That's just a very, very sad situation.
It is sad, and it is tough, and, you know, the way the NHL works is Nashville flew out. They were here last night. They checked. I don't know if they're in the St. Paul Hotel or over in Minneapolis, but they flew last night, and they were here before those tornadoes hit.
Mm.
So I'm sure at some point they're checking their phones when they land.
No doubt.
Getting some type of message about, hey, this is happening.
Yeah.
Now they're away. And we haven't heard anything out of the net, or I have not.
I haven't either.
The Nashville locker room. Because we don't know that it hasn't affected any of the players,
right,
or their homes or where they live or people they know. And
there still is an outside chance. I mean, I think there'll be a game tonight. But, I mean, once the news, well, yeah, by now, you know, coming up on 11 o'clock, everything would have been squared away.
Right.
But, I mean, if you have mass devastation in, like, neighborhoods where coaches, players, and they have to get back, then there would be no game tonight.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, selfishly, I'd hope them not to rally, but I think these kinds of things can rally a team, too, and bring people together.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this morning, too. If you remember Vegas, there was a shooting, and then all of a sudden the Golden Knights, everybody kind of rallied around them, and I think that everybody bought into it, and the Knights ran with it, and it was good for the club.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully something similar comes from Nashville and the community with the Predators and playing some good hockey, but hopefully we play slightly better hockey.
Double duty today on the Fan for Ryan Carter. He was on the radio with the kids at 7:30 announcing a new 5-year collaboration between the Wild and KFAN and iHeartRadio, and also championing the cause of an opportunity for you to win a flyaway trip to Chicago. It is March 18th through the 21st. It's the commemoration and celebrating of this partnership between KFAN and the Minnesota Wild. Via Twitter, use the hashtag iHeartWild. Hashtag iHeartWild, and you qualify. 10:55, back after this.
This Vox in a Box live from the X, presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling on The Fan.
Enter to win a pair of tickets to see Brendan Schaub on his 50 Shades of Brown tour March 28th at the Varsity Theater, KFAN.com, keyword contest.
Carter rejoins the equation, 1102 XL Energy Center, undefeated Vox in the Box, continuing at FM 100.3. KFAM. You know, with the kids, to a certain extent, shaping the future, teach them well and let them lead the way. Kevin Fiala is, that's happening with Kevin Fiala now. And with the Russian kid, Kaprasov, you hear a fair amount about next year. Mikko Nordo and I chatted about this rather extensively yesterday, where, you know, specifically with the Caps having been here on Sunday night, and Kutz,
Kuznetsov
and him early in his career, how highly touted he was, and looking back at it, he was a little slow to go.
you know, but he's a stud now.
Right.
So it's like patience required with Kaprizov, not only with the transition from that game to this game, but as Miko brought up, the cultural differences and the moving and the fact that when you get here, you know, it's not like you're going back in a month or 2 months. You're here. And when they have their bye week or whatever, you get a chance to go back then in the off season if you are so inclined. But, you know, like when he joins, I think people are going to expect, because that's just how society is now, boom, lickety-split, 2 goals every single night, 4 points every single night. Right. It might not be that way.
No, and you're absolutely right. And to the point that you made about guys adjusting to lifestyle, just imagine, and this is what I say, imagine putting yourself and just immersing yourself in Russian culture. You go over somewhere in Russia all by yourself, and you go there to play a game, right? And how's that going to go for you? How's it going to be? Are you going to be your best, you know? Yeah, thank goodness we have Netflix and stuff like that now where we can watch programming and get some sort of familiarity with you, but you're on a different time zone than your family and everything else like that. So the food's different. There's a lot to adjust to, especially for a young player. Now, give him some credit. He's not the youngest player. I think he's 23 years old now,
yeah.
So he'll come over a little bit more mature. But I think, to some degree, fans do have to temper expectations for him. I don't think we want to put the pressure of the world on him. And Kevin Fiala playing as well as he is right now, I think, will help with that. You know, it's taken him a little while to figure it out, too. He came over. He's highly touted. He had a couple of good years in Nashville. And to find his game and play the way that Minnesota wants to play, there was some, you know, there was some learning curves and bumps in the road for him. And
right.
But now he's playing well. So I think it's going to be similar for Kaprizov. He's going to be good. He's skilled. He's got all the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's just going to have to develop the box here in North America to pull them from and when to pull them from.
Well, when Dean Evason, the interim coach, joined us 2 hours ago, I found the Kevin Fiala portion of the conversation to be my favorite, because Dean has been with Kevin from the time Dean was coaching in Milwaukee. So, I mean, we're talking a teenager here, you know, high teens. And how old's Kevin now?
I think he's 23.
23 years of age. So he gets with us at 22. But, you know, just kind of knowing about Kevin from other people close to the organization, now chatting with Dean, is you know, he's emotional. He's an emotional guy. And you know, whether it's like, I belong in Nashville and I think I should be here. Oh, my heavens, I'm in Milwaukee. And then now what? I've been traded. Now I'm going to Minnesota. What? Everybody's killing me because I'm turning the puck over all the time because I'm trying too hard. Oh, the season's over. Now let's start again. A little slow to go. Not great. And then now, like first star of the week in the NHL type material, it's the handling of the negativity and not being moody and not getting too down on himself. Conversely, on the other side, it's, you know, being in a room full of players who have done a lot for a long time and not being too big-headed simply because you're scoring more goals than everybody at age 23. I mean, that's very, very challenging, and I get the feeling in chatting with Dean about it, being boss slash coach, yet having been with him that long in fatherly fashion, he's really enjoyed the journey.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Kevin Fiala, obviously, he has all the skill in the world, too, and he started to come along under Boudreau, but I think we've seen him grow even more under Dean Evason, and some of that is probably because of familiarity. And I listened this morning, and Dean mentioned how some guys you need to kick in the butt, and some you need to pat on the back, and he has the time spent in the equity with Fiala that he probably knows the situations when he needs to kick him in the butt and when he needs to pat him in the back.
Yeah.
Now, when we transition this to what we were previously talking about with Kaprizov, it's going to take some time for a staff here to learn how to best push his buttons to get him to a spot where he's playing at a level like Fiala is right now, because they're going to have to learn, when do I need to kick him in the butt? When do I need to pat him on the back? Can he handle a kick in the butt?
Granny with the Preds, how's it working out?
Well, it wasn't working out that well, but he has come to life, I think, since the trade deadline or shortly before. Now he's scoring goals. Historically, we've seen Granny rack up more assists than goals. This year, he seems to be finding the back of the net more than he seems to be setting his teammates up. Now, I don't know. I haven't watched enough of their games to know if they're deploying him in the same fashion that the Wild did, but I think Mikhail struggled with his role a little bit, but now he's finding it, and his game's coming back to life.
You think it's too early to say, but it is a year into it now. Do you think the Wild won that deal?
I think you have to say yes, you've won that deal, because Kevin is 23, and then you look at the contracts, and then you look at rules based in there. They have control of Kevin Fiala for a little while now, where they'd be losing control of Mikael Granlund this year.
Right.
Now, maybe Granlund would re-sign here. We don't know that. But regardless, he'd have the option to go somewhere else after this season. So
yeah.
I think in some regards, we've got Kevin Fiala, who's playing really well. His game is on the rise, and we have control of him for a while.
You know, continuing down with Kevin Fiala, but not him specifically, mentioning Dean Evason's role in kind of how, you know, how to rein him in or let him loose. He knows him well. What about Bill Guerin? So Bill Guerin can make differences with this team clearly via trade. We saw with the coaching change. How hands-on do you think a guy in his role is in terms of as he continues to get to know the locker room, shape things the way that the general manager wants?
Well, I've been under a handful of general managers, and they're all different, and they all are who they are. Now, Bill Guerin's, he's outgoing, he's a positive guy, but he's intense, he wants to win, and I think we're seeing that in the things he does. I've had, you know, Bill Guerin was under Jimmy Rutherford, who I had in Carolina. Jim Rutherford would come right down the locker room in between periods and chew us out.
Like, really?
Yeah, he'd come right down in between periods and be like, you guys don't get it going, you're going to be out of
here. What does the head coach do when that happens?
So
he just goes and gets a coffee?
It was Paul Maurice. No, he sits right there and in his head. And then general manager leaves, and then the door closes, and he says, take a breath.
Yes.
You're all not going anywhere. He can't trade all of you,
yeah.
So you're all not going anywhere. But
yeah. You need
to understand the message. We have to play better.
Right? Reese's glasses are fogged up.
Yeah.
Can't trade all of you guys.
Yeah.
Right.
So he told us all to chill. He's like, he's not going to trade all of you. But
maybe one or two of you.
But Jim Rutherford is not afraid to pull the trigger, so he will trade.
Matt Duchene with the Nashville Predators has 12 goals. And I'm not going to claim that, like, when they got him, I thought it would be more or whatever. But I do think it's interesting there are six more players on the Minnesota Wild. There are six players on the Minnesota Wild that have more goals than Matt Duchene. And is that, like, expected? Did you think at this stage of the equation, you know, we would be looking at the likes of six players, which include Donato, Parisi, Staal with 19, Cunnan has 13, comes back tonight, Fiala has 20, Zuccarello has 14. They all have more goals than Matt Duchene. Is that not surprising?
It's a little surprising. He started off the year really hot. I remember we started off against Nashville in that game. He was phenomenal. It's like, wow, he looks good. And all along, the stuff you see out of the media is Matt Duchene loves it in Nashville, and he's super comfortable. He finally feels at home.
Of course he does.
Sometimes that can be a negative thing.
Right.
Right? Because then all of a sudden you just chill.
Right.
I'm comfortable.
Or you don't like home.
Yeah.
Well, garage door goes up, and all of a sudden, you know, you're a minus three and a 6-2 loss.
Changes.
Yeah. But I think sometimes when you're playing comfortable hockey, you're not playing your best hockey, and that's the challenge of a coaching staff sometimes, is to keep guys on edge.
Yeah.
You know, because I think comfort is, I mean, it's too easy.
You think, if and or when the Wild makes the postseason, do you believe they can win a series against, as you guys in the business would say, a heavy team, like what the Kings maybe are, but used to be more so, win a heavy game against a heavy team, that type of series?
I think so. If you look at our game right now, okay, so we play against the East, and the East is high-flying. They're skilled. They want to cross the blue line, go East and West, and score a pretty goal.
Mm-hmm.
We play pretty well against the East because we're a straight-line team. We go up and down the ice. We get the puck behind the goal line. We go to work, and we're not afraid to spend 45 seconds before we get our scoring opportunity.
Yeah.
To me, that is a heavy, gritty team. We play a heavy, gritty style. Now, we might not have guys that are 6'5", 230 pounds up and down the lineup.
Foligno plays heavy, right?
Yeah, Foligno plays heavy.
Yeah.
Greenway at times plays heavy.
Yeah.
You know, but Luke Cunnan does. Joel Eriksson Ek plays heavy. Like, these guys aren't cheating. They're playing the right way. They win their battles on the walls and in the areas that, you know, you have to win the puck battles, the 50-50 battles. And I think we play that way. And if we get into a playoff series against a team, you know, like St. Louis is a big, heavy team.
Yeah.
You know, Vegas, I think, well, we saw it last time Vegas was here. They're more of a high-fly team than a heavy team, and we played them pretty well. 4-0, we got them coming up. So another.
How would you describe Colorado? Kind of a mix, right?
Colorado's kind of a mix, too, yeah. But I think that they'd probably like to find a little bit more grit in their game. Now,
yeah.
They're rolling right now, but they're rolling because they can beat you 6-5. right? Now, how are they going to be when the game changes and you've got to win 2-1? Can you hold the lead? You know, can you play disciplined? And I think if you refer to last year's playoffs where Tampa Bay was, they won the President's Trophy and super sexy team.
Yep.
You know, great
fizzled
product.
Round one.
Yeah.
That was Columbus, right?
Yeah. Great product. But you have Columbus, a team that was not heavy, but they played a heavy style, straight line, disciplined game.
Right.
They came in first round and they've been playing for their playoff life. Because it's a mentality when you get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You have to play a certain way, and it's a struggle. And are you battle-tested at that time for that type of game? And Columbus was. They had been playing that style. They were ready for it day one. Tampa was not, and they got steamrolled.
I think the I think it's fair to say the two most difficult championships to win, in my opinion, would be the Super Bowl number 2 and the Stanley Cup number 1. And that's with all due respect to the longevity of a Major League Baseball season where they got games 7 days a week. It's arduous, but it's the least physical of all four of the professional sports. Basketball is more physical when, like, you get down their first 5 rows and you see exactly how physical it truly is inside the key, you know, that, but nevertheless, it's not physical like football, but that's once a week. You know, hockey, you got 3-4 games a week, man, and it's long, and you got to get through all these 7-game series, and you went to the Stanley Cup and came up short, but the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy of all of them to win. And I would imagine whether you win or you lose, you're physically and mentally just devastated and exhausted at the end of the run, correct?
Yeah, and that's why guys are so happy and relieved to win it. And that's why I think guys stick around. And I don't follow other sports like I follow hockey, but I don't see a lot of guys saying, like, I'm going to stick around because I need to win.
Yeah.
I'm here just to win. Because guys, they've put so much, they've been so close, and if they haven't tasted it, it's like all you want, it's all you care about. But I agree with your sentiment in that hockey's the hardest. Like, football, it's hard because I think you have to have certain pieces and you have to get lucky. Like, you need a quarterback. You need certain things.
Right? But it's a physical game, too.
It's a physical game.
So even you just won a week. The recovery on the Monday, Tuesday, go questionable on a Wednesday, questionable on a Thursday, but you're really closer to doubtful because they're still working, you know, putting you back together. That's why I put those games 1-2.
And in hockey, Bruce would always say this, like in a 7-game series, more often than not, the better team wins.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can run into a hot goalie like the Wild saw in St. Louis when I was playing. Like, we had a good team, but we couldn't beat Jake Allen. All of a sudden, it's like you have to have your matchups fall in line for you. Like, if the Wild get out to the Pacific this year, that could be a positive thing, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to have your matchups line up. Then you've got to catch guys at the right time, and then injuries. And you're right, it is a grind. It's 2 months of hockey, nonstop hockey.
My man, thank you. Great job as usual.
Enjoy
the game this evening, and we'll see you soon.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Ryan Carter, into the penultimate segment of this Vox in the Box radio show. We go from analyst to analyst. Radio analyst Tom Reed joins us in the penalty box around the corner. It's not
a fan.
Excellent work back at the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios at KFAN by Brett Blakemore, guiding the great ship Love Covenant. Likewise for 9 to Noon's producer, Eric Nordquist. On-site technical guidance also provided by the great Jared Wells. Fan promotions, everybody here today, the listeners in the crowd at the X for Vox in the Box. It's been a very festive radio show and day with the Wild Morning Skate over for quite some time now. And the Wild and KFAN and iHeartRadio got together on a 5-year extension. We would have had Vox in the Box anyway, but nevertheless, now we commemorate it with hashtag iHeartWild, an opportunity for listeners to win a trip to Chicago, March 18th to the 21st. The Wild play the Blackhawks on that journey. You'll go to that game, and you'll be in Chicago. It's hashtag iHeartWild via Twitter to learn more and to qualify. A man who does not have to use hashtag anything to be in Chicago for that trip and subsequently Winnipeg the next night joins us now. He's the longtime
analyst for the Minnesota Wild on KFAN. His name is Tom Reed, and he works with Bob Kurtz, a fantastic play-by-play voice, and five more years with KFAN, the Wild Radio Network, and everything. I think that sounds pretty good, man. It's a good partnership, and it's good to see you.
Yeah, thanks, PA. And the thing is, you look at it, it's 410 more games than we're on with KFAN after this year, so that's pretty good. So I'm sure Kurtz will be right there for all 410.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Analyzing Wild hockey on the radio, what do you enjoy about your job?
You know, on radio especially, we get to talk about the game. I mean, Bob and I both, and we don't do a lot in the morning. You know, we talk about different things, but about 15 minutes before the game and before they go on the ice for their skate just prior to the game, we'll talk about what happened around the NHL, what's going on with the teams that we're playing against. So we're up to date on pretty well everything. And Bob is very good about watching, you know, television and reading the newspapers and so on. And then discussing, we talk a little bit about just about everything about the team and who's going well and who's not going well and what to look for. So it's pretty good. It's a lot of fun. And, of course, once they step on the ice for that pregame skate, that's where Bob really has to focus in on numbers and so on, as I do, and more so him than me, because he's got to call the game play by play. You're going to find out what it's like.
Yeah, the honor and privilege of filling in for Bob 2 weeks from Thursday and Friday at Chicago and Winnipeg's fantastic. You and I have chatted about it. Very honored to be taking part in it. And being out here practicing the 7-8 periods that I have, you know, I make it a point to chat with you and Bob every time before I practice and even do 1.5, 2, 2.5 periods. Simply, I just like to hear your guys' mindset, not necessarily into the analysis or analytics of the game, the who wins and why, but just the mechanics of, okay, here they come out on the ice. Paul, it's 20 minutes before the game. This is a very important time because this is the only time they will be out there when it comes to memorizing numbers and body types and stuff like that. Because, correct me if I'm wrong here, Tom, but the vantage points for radio play-by-play, they're generally like XL Energy Center, very high up there, correct?
Yeah, we're a long ways up, and some of the rinks are very good. The way you're going to Chicago and Winnipeg are two very, very good press box areas because you can see a lot. And Winnipeg especially, because it was built for the American Hockey League, which is a smaller venue.
Sweet.
And so with that, you're closer to the ice, and it makes it a little bit easier. When you get to a place like Edmonton, or even when you get to Pittsburgh, those press boxes are way back and they're up high, so it's hard to see numbers. And when they turn, if you can't see numbers on the sleeves, or a 3 looks like an 8 or a 6 looks like a 9, I mean,
you're scaring me.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Well, you're scaring me, though, because in the practice rounds, off what you're saying, okay, we have Hartman and we have Zuccarello.
Right.
And we both have hair coming out of the helmets.
Right.
And they're relatively the same size. And both their numbers start with 3. And then 1 is 6 and 1 is 8. You know, so, okay, the veterans can be like, well, who else is on the ice at the same time? Okay, thanks, Doc Emmerich. I mean, I'm just trying to get by this play inside the blue line and capture the slapper from the dot on Martin Jones, and I'm supposed to figure that all out and distinguish between two guys with long hair? It ain't easy.
Well, the good thing on radio is we can lie and nobody knows.
Right.
You know, unless you're watching the TV at the same time.
Brilliant.
That does happen. But
brilliant.
We don't miss. Bob doesn't miss very much. I mean, we work well together, and it's important that I let him get through what he has to say, and then he will give me that split second I know that I can come in and I can give a comment about what's happening and so on. And it has worked out well for us. We started actually in 1980 together doing the North Stars back to the KMSP TV. We did a number of games there. We did some of the Gopher games, and Bob and I started with the TV here. Started with TV for the first 2 years, but I wasn't enjoying it as much, and I thought, you know what, the radio job is going to come open. So I asked Bill Robertson that time, you know, I'd like to be considered for that. And they said, hey, great. So we've been together ever since.
Now, you know, really for my games coming up in a couple of weeks, the last time I saw you here when I practiced, you really calmed me when you said, well, Paul, you don't have to worry because I'm going to do all the talking. So, which means
we know that's not true,
which means you're going to talk 80% of each period. And I'm going to be like, boom. The face-off goes the way of the Blackhawks, and Minnesota Wild hockey is in the air. Then you're going to take over after that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah, and here taking the rest of the way is Paul Allen.
Yeah, okay. And then I'm going to mess up a Blackhawks goal, and you're going to be like, no, actually, that's Duncan Keith, Paul.
But, you know, but what's interesting, I mean, we have a pretty good rapport together, Bob and I. We've been doing it for so long, and you'll be the sixth guy that I've worked with this year doing the broadcast on radio.
Sixth?
Sixth.
Holy cow.
Six. So it'll be good to do it. I did a game with Anthony LaPanta, and he was great. I mean, yeah. he's a true professional. There's no question. Did a terrific job. But I use other guys as well. We've got the young kid down in Iowa, Joe O'Donnell down there, and we've got, you know, different guys have done it, and they all have their own style, and I want them to have their own style. They're not a Bob Kurtz, nor do I expect them to be a Bob Kurtz.
Right.
So,
well, then what do you do with me? I have no style because I've never called a hockey game.
Well, you'll learn. I mean, they had to start with game one someplace. And the fact that you're here and you go up in that booth and you practice says an awful lot. I mean, the fact that you want to do well. And you do. I mean, we have a pretty good audience, certainly, on the on KFAN and our radio network all the way along. And and people like to hear stories, and I can relate a lot of the things I've done. I mean, I've been around the game for 55 years.
Oh, it's terrific.
Or not, since I left
to play and,
hockey.
And, you know, with me is that, you know, given that it is so new, is that having somebody like Bob Kurtz, you know, it's I've listened to Bob all of his career, man. I mean, you know, the Wild have been on the Fan ever since I've been on the Fan, and I've been on the Fan for two decades. And Bob's voice is piercing. It's sharp. He's on top of things. He just has that natural crescendo building, wonderful tone to his voice. So, like, you know, two or three practice games for me, you know, the Blackhawks. I'm here and I do two periods, and I knew from Tampa to Florida to whomever to the Blackhawks, I made progress. When I listen back to him, I'm like, yes, I made progress. And then driving home, I listen to you guys on the radio in the third period, and I hear Bob, and I'm like, yeah, I made progress, but oh my God, this is how it's supposed to sound, and he's unbelievably good.
Yeah, but he didn't get there overnight either. He's a lot of games under his belt, and that's gonna continue with you too. I mean, you're gonna get better the more you do. I mean, it's like football; it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. But the hockey, as you realize, is a very fast game. I mean, you've got a puck that's being propelled at 100 plus miles an hour, and you've got players are moving, and you've got players turning. You don't have a spotter. You can't have that.
Yeah, although, can't use binoculars.
No, you can't do that.
Yep. But stats are off your phone.
Stats. Yeah, we tried binoculars. You can use binoculars. Yeah. I have them because I want to see what's happening on the bench.
Oh.
Somebody gets hurt or something happens, I can zero in to see exactly what's happening.
Well, that's very crafty.
So, yeah.
You know, with as many games as you call in a season, and another beauty of radio is, like, you know, with certain sports, they make the playoffs, they might do one or two games, then boom, the networks take over after that, and you're not calling games. I would hate that. You know, with radio, you do every single game. You and Bob do every single. If they go to the Stanley Cup and win it in seven games, Bob and Tom, that's the call of immortality, not TV in these markets, because networks take over. And with all these games you have done, Tom, and all these games you've done this season, Sunday night, when a game like the Capitals game shakes out, specifically that first period, and I could hear, because I'm listening to all your games, I could hear with you guys the level of excitement and just how it was different, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, the game on the ice really dictates how we're going to call the game also. And I thought that game against Washington the other night was probably one of the best home games I've seen in a long time, because he has a little bit of everything. And the Wild were a very good team in that contest. There's no question about it. So was Washington.
Yeah.
Wild battle hard. And the Wild don't have the superstars like Washington has. We don't have the Ovechkins. We don't have the guys of that magnitude. This game tonight is critical for both Nashville and for us. Now, Nashville got beat last night. They gave up five goals in just over 5 minutes in that third period. So we have three more games against Nashville. We have a lot of games against the Western Conference and in our own division as well. So these are important games, but you can't look beyond this game here tonight.
Is it possible to, and this might be the dumbest question you're ever going to get, because the answer can be, don't turn over the puck and get good goaltending. That could be the end of the equation. But like with hockey, when somebody says, what's the key, or what are the keys to winning a game, specifically like tonight, outside of you need good goaltending and you can't turn over the puck and you got to stay out of the box, like schematically speaking, what are some keys to winning, say, tonight?
Well, puck management, how you manage a puck, and what you do, and how you get it in the offensive zone, and how you forecheck in there, and making sure you've got someone who's in a good position defensively. But it starts between the pipes. I mean, all the time I talk about goaltenders, and Bob will tell you, you know, goaltending is only 50% of the game. Unless you got a bad goaltender, then it's 100%.
Yeah.
Because you're going to lose.
Ain't no doubt.
So,
like Jimmy Howard in Detroit, man. I mean, you know, the team wins 7-1. You know, I'm listening to you guys, and you know, you're talking about his record, and then I like looked it up over the last 19, and I'm like, oh my God, he's 0-17-2 in his last 19.
And after that game, he was 0-18-2 after that
game. And he got pulled.
Detroit, yeah. But he, you know, and it's a team in front of him. You've got to have support all the way through. If a forward makes a mistake, you've got defenseman back there to help you out. If a defenseman makes a mistake, you only have the goaltender, and he's all by himself. So he's got to be good. He's got to be focused on what he does. And Alex Daylock from Minnesota right now has really, really stepped up here, more so because he's always been that second tier goaltender. Right now, I think he's number one.
Tom Reed, longtime analyst for Wild Hockey at FM 100.3 KFAN. The Wild, KFAN, and iHeartMedia have gotten together on a five-year radio extension. Tom has been a big part of a lot of big radio calls with Bob Kurtz on The Fan for many, many years. Great to have him in the penalty box to discuss Wild Hockey and the NHL because, you know, even though I'm a devoted fan and I listen all the time or I hear Kevin Faulness tweet you on the vast and ever-expanding Wild Radio Network, I know that you are the only in the history of the NHL to score on the elite Ken Dryden VA penalty shot.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's Montreal Canadiens immortality, Ken Dryden, which means if there's a shootout this evening, I mean, you have to be considered, right?
Well, when I went down, Dryden. Yeah, when I went to take the shot, I pointed up in the corner. When he looked, that's when I shot the puck.
I thought you were pointing to God with a request for prayer.
That was something I didn't want to take the penalty shot, but the referee said, you got to take it. And
yeah.
Of course, I went out there and was fortunate to score. And that game wound up a 1-1 tie in Minnesota. But, you know, it's been a great career for me. Both I've been able to stay in hockey all these years. And the one thing I talk about, and I've talked to people who come to the game, they bring their headset and they listen to the radio. Or they plug it in.
Like Dr. Crutchfield.
Yeah, exactly.
You know David?
Yeah, he's my doctor.
Crutchfield, dermatologist. Charles, thank you. Yeah. Charles Crutchfield, dermatology, I believe, in Egan. And every time I'm in the Zamboni, he sits by the Zamboni tunnel.
He does.
And he brings his family and he always has his headphones. And he's just so dedicated to that.
Well, a lot of times you don't know what's going on the ice, and usually we have a pretty good idea what's happening from up above.
Unless I'm calling the game.
Yeah, well, you know, and the thing is that we're pretty spot on for most of the stuff that we do. Sometimes it's hard in scrambles to see who's actually scoring a goal.
Oh, no
doubt.
But
Bob and I have a system pretty well. We know when to come in and when not to come in with the name. And we'll make mistakes along the way, but that's fine. We don't mind doing that.
So, okay, Zachary Halverson, no $100 bill for you because Zach Halverson with The Fan meat sauce on the ice right now. It's video worthy, specifically in this day and age. As
hope he stops.
I'm sure you'll see that on Twitter momentarily from Mad Producer One. A couple of quickies to close here for Tom Reed, analyst for Minnesota Wild Hockey. Probably the dumbest question you'll get all day. But given you played you played against like Guy Lafleur, right? And players like that.
Gordie Howe.
Gordie Howe, boom.
Bobby Holstein.
Boom, whole thing. Okay.
John Beliveau.
Well, Wayne Gretzky, whether is he absolutely the best that you've ever seen?
The best of that era. There's no question about it. When he came in 1979, when the WHA merged into the National Hockey League. And terrific to watch. And he's one of those guys you talk about, well, hit him. You can't hit what you can't catch.
Yeah.
And he had pretty good support. He had some pretty big guys with him also that were protecting him. But he certainly was that type of player. We look at guys now, you look at Connor McDavid, you look at, Leon Draisaitl, even last night, they both, Draisaitl with 4 goals and assists.
Yeah.
You got McDavid with a goal and 4 assists. I mean, the level of skill is tremendous.
Yeah.
In players. We didn't have the luxury of having all the stuff they have today. We didn't have weights. We didn't have.
Right.
I never lifted weights as a player. I work in the summertime.
Yeah.
Did a lot of physical work, but I never lifted weights. So now these guys have their own trainers. They got nutritionists. They got psychologists. They got everything with these players, and it really helps them. But it's a full time job now. It's 12 months of the year.
But Tommy, when you're blessed with McDavid and or a McKinnon like size, speed and skill.
Yeah.
That's why those two, I'm not breaking news here, I mean, because of the size aspect and how difficult it is by the boards or as they're streaking past the blue line to knock them off the puck, you know, that you take that standpoint plus the skill plus the big shot. I mean, those two are 1-2 for me, man, with all due respect to Austin Matthews, Sidney Crosby,
Well, you talk about players who have
McDavid's number one
skill level. You look at Ovechkin the other night. Now we know where he's going to shoot from.
Great point.
You know where he's what's going to happen.
Yeah, the left eye.
And you try to couch yourself a little bit closer to him, but he just backs up a little bit more. It makes it very difficult for the defenseman to get over to him.
Yeah.
And by the time that puck comes across, it's on and off that stick in a nanosecond.
Yeah.
And it's in the net. I mean, he's had five goals in this building in the last two games, and he was the reason for their success the other night. But it's in today's game, if you can't skate, you can't play in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
They talk about skill. I have parents coming to me and say, you know what, my kid's going to be great and he's going to be in the NHL. I said, oh, how old is he? He was 8 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know what 8 years old I could say that, but they always say, what's the most important part of it? It's skating.
No doubt.
Take skating lessons from someone who knows how to teach you how to skate.
Tommy, Alex Ovechkin from the left dot on the power play is one of the most identifiable things in all of sports. I mean, that's just his spot. They set it up perfectly. He scores the majority of his power play goals there.
Yep.
And you just expect it, and you know it's coming. It's one of those, you know it's coming, but you still can't stop it.
You just don't know when it's coming.
So yeah.
there's one of the results of staying out of the penalty box when you're playing against a team.
No doubt.
A caliber player like that. But this run for Minnesota is going to be very interesting. And they play against some pretty good teams that are below them in the standings. So hopefully, you always hope, this should be 2 points. This should be 2 points.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way in the National Hockey
League. In the National Hockey League, of all the sports, it absolutely does not work that way. For instance, now I know it's a series. Ryan Carter brought it up earlier. He's dead right. You know, you got the President's Trophy winners, the Tampa Bay Lightning with Stamkos and all that speed and everything. Columbus is a heavier, different kind of team. Took it to them, and the eight bounced the one. And then you get the Kings, that heavy team, winning the Stanley Cup from the eight spot. That for me is the true charm of hockey and the National Hockey League, in that you can come from anywhere and win everything.
Well, you can. And, you know, I go back and I look at some of the series that Minnesota's had over the years. It's tough to win this. You have to win 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
And look at St. Louis. They won 10 of those 16 on the road last year.
Wow.
On the road, which is unheard of. But they were terrific. But when you get into the playoffs, and I go back to 2003 when the Wild got to the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Colorado in seven games.
Yeah.
Andy Brunette scoring the final goal against Patrick Waugh. That's the last goal he ever gave up.
Yeah.
Then we went against Vancouver, and we were down 3-1 in that series.
Yep.
We had to play Monday night. Oh. We had to play Wednesday night. We had to play Thursday night.
Yeah.
And then we had to play in Anaheim for the first game.
And wasn't it Todd Bertuzzi who walked by the crowd at the X and said, why are you guys all here? The series ends tonight.
Yeah, and it did not end
It did not.
Then on the game number seven, when Minnesota was down by two goals, he went by the bench and said, get your golf clubs ready, boys. You're going golfing tomorrow.
And they lost again.
And they lost again.
Oh, that's great, man. Yeah. I'm never bringing him to Vegas and shooting dice.
Thank you, Todd.
That sounds like minus 500 out of the gate.
Yeah.
Rolling with him.
It was great, sir. And the guys are great to deal with. I mean, we see them all the time. And I keep my space with them.
Yeah.
Because I still have to broadcast and I have to be honest about what I see.
Of course you do.
And if they're good, we'll say, they're playing poorly, we'll say that. We don't want to hurt the player. At the same time, that's a poor decision with the puck, or he missed his man, or whatever. And it's easy to miss a man in today's game with the speed of some of these forwards.
Hey, ma'am, you do great work. I mean, you know, it's not simply because we're working together in 2 weeks, but you and I have chatted a lot. I've known you for years, man. A lot of appreciation for what you do, analyzing Wild hockey, and certainly what Bob does as the play-by-play guy. And I'm honored to be able to call a couple of games with you in 2 weeks from Chicago and Winnipeg, and I'm just curious to see what type of verbal mental hazing takes place on my first NHL road trip for you to make me nervous and like get me all goofy and stuff like that, and hopefully mentally, by forechecking faith, I am ready.
I've had more people, especially in my pub, I've had more people come up and say, you're going to do a couple games of PE? I said, yeah. I said, I'm really looking forward, and I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call you and make sure you're in for curfew the night before.
I'll be ready, man. Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
Great job, Tommy. We'll be back. Final segment, XL Energy Center, Vox in the Box, fan.
This Vox in the Box live from the X, presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling on The Fan.
I can't wait. I can't wait until tomorrow, 'cause tomorrow might very well be too late.
The waning stages of the 9 to noon radio show. The more things change, the more they stay the same. It's just the ways and means become rearranged. What that means for today is 9 to noon is host, announcer,
producer Miko Nordo. But during the course of a Vox in the Box radio show, courtesy of Brian Heating and Cooling, doing whatever it takes to assist the Wild in prevailing this evening, you know, from wonderful fans joining us here to a five-year extension and a partnership to hashtag iHeartMedia to, hey, we need you three to hold signs on the ice, don't slip, social media platform this.
Get the clicks, multi-platform.
Multi-platform, we'll circle back. Just all of the terminology that, you know, you do the radio show and here's the interim. And then there's the scribe all of a sudden with the curveball vanity. And, you know, then on and on and on through Tom Reed. Really enjoyed that conversation. But love is good. Love can be strong. We're right back where we started from, producer and announcer, witnessing members of the fan family.
Yeah.
On the ice at XL Energy Center now.
Including Boot Guy.
And without completely stepping on the social media platform touchdown call as to what's coming.
Right.
It's a spectacle.
It is a spectacle.
Zachary Halvorsen on the ice right now. Ryan Carter, many years in the NHL, still as smooth as you know what on the ice, man, with the tight cut.
So is Zach Halvorsen, is he here for like an ECHL regional tryout?
I don't know.
He looks exhausted, but he's going full bore out there.
I don't know what that is, man. I mean, the thing is where you and I will have to be careful. And I can't speak for you, but, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, I skated a lot.
Yeah.
And I never played hockey, but I skated a lot just to, like, skate in the Washington, D.C. area. Now, I haven't skated a ton in many, many years. I can't speak for you, but see, like, with his body type and everything, and, you know, that the
Wild, let's just say he can't lean forward.
The Wild jersey he's wearing right now, it's like, who last wore that? Jerry Mayhew?
Correct.
I mean, it's unbelievably tight.
I thought sweaters were supposed to breathe a little bit.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I understand.
You know, it's not profiled by Halvorsen, let's put it that way. you know, but with that said, we can't trash talk that.
Correct.
Because guess what? We get out there because he can come over and say, here's the deal, boys.
Yeah, chase me.
We're going to do two things. We're going to skate and see who's better, and then we're going to skate with a stick and a puck and see who's better. And he's going to beat us both.
Probably.
And then all of a sudden, the John Kruk of the National Hockey League is going to look at us and be like, sit.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sit, man. I've been sitting all day.
Correct.
So we can't talk trash.
No, we can't. Well, I mean, we could still mention the sweater. I mean, it was just something we saw. But anyway, the last time I skated was like a decade ago, and I could get forward. I wasn't bow-legged or anything about it, but when it came time for the stopping portion of things,
bucket list,
and not falling on your face, you know, tailbone-related injuries. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I'm better in the penalty box than I am out on the ice, it's shoes or skates.
Yeah, but I mean, it's. I would skate and I would get around okay. Going backwards, I was like, I'd say a 3 out of 10 on that.
Yeah,
Don't shoot. Look at Zachary.
Okay, I'm trying to finish. No, get out of here,
Anze Kopitar. You're not okay.
Yeah. Blake Wheeler is not.
Respect, Ben Sherratt, you're not. Now, it has nothing to do with the whole. You're a distraction. They're National Hockey League players. So it's like, you know, when I would skate, man, it was like, you know, girl or girlfriend related, hold hand.
Yeah.
Like that.
Going around in circles.
When's the last time you held hands?
When did I get married?
All I wanted to do was get that line.
Oh, it was a beautiful spring day in May of 2015.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't felt our ribs in 30 years. How in the heck are we supposed to skate around a rink holding hands? God bless you. You've lost 50 pounds. You still can't feel. You can't see your ribs.
No, I cannot.
I haven't felt my ribs in 30 years.
No.
And then I'm going to skate around the rink with a girl holding hands? Are you kidding me?
No, thankfully I got this, this 30 to 40 pound pillow top that can keep me from severe injury if I can take the ice.
It was a different Vox in the Box today.
It was.
And it was greater good. However, the record is what the record is.
6-0. You know?
And in chatting with a mutual friend of ours, who will be playing this evening into Vox in the Box.
Yes.
You know, first thing said individual said was, where's the white horse? The White Horse is being groomed right now.
Right,
the White Horse is coming off a little bit of a layoff. That tendon's good. The knee's a little bit of an issue on the back left. But overall, White Horse is ready to run. Expect 7-0.
Now, does it need two laps around the concourse to get warmed up? Does it need a warm-up race?
Well, no. We had to store the White Horse at the training facility because of all the kids here. I mean, there were too many kids nipping at the ankles and trying to... The horse became a swayback. So all of a sudden, we've had a change to the karma. But nevertheless, this is arguably the most significant Vox in the Box in the history of this radio show.
It is.
For the distraction factor was on us.
Yes, it was.
And now we have to skate through it.
Hell yeah.
By forechecking faith, consider it done.
You know, the vibe's back. We're excited for this team again. Announcement today, all these things. Dude.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we were looking for. Next step is Bahama Shorts in the playoffs.
Nordo, great job. Jared Wells, thank you. Ryan Donaldson, thank you. Brett Blakemore, thank you. Most importantly, everybody for joining us, thank you for your dedication to 9 to Noon and the Fan. I'm Paul Allen. That's Vox in the Box at FM 100.3 KFAN.
Podcast today's Paul Allen Show, or listen back to previous show and interviews by going to the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.com.
Injury.com.
Think it's just flu? Think again. Flu can be serious for everyone, but getting the flu when you have certain chronic health conditions can cause life-threatening complications. Protect yourself. Get vaccinated against flu.